Kootenai, still available at Ticketmaster.ca. Toronto, rock lacrosse, rock solid.
You're a car guy. You love your wheels more than sex.
Hello?
Well, okay, it's a close second. But hey, you take care of it, right? Not when you're letting the thing idle every day. Here's a fact for you. Idling kills your engine. 30 seconds, that's all the warming time you need. And sitting for more than 10 seconds? Well, that wastes more gas than restarting the engine.
What a wealth of knowledge.
Besides mucking up your car, idling is crap for everyone's favorite gal, Mother Nature. April is Earth Month, so clean up your act and turn off your car. For more info, hit earthday.ca.
Getting answers for Toronto. The Stafford Show, weekdays 2 to 6. Your city, your station. 640 Toronto.
Unusual. Unexplained. Unstoppable. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
Off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM, later tonight. His name is Jordan Maxwell, an expert on secret societies and real life mysteries. Let's get right into some of the quick stories of the day. Well, first of all, listen to this. Being overweight is nowhere near as big a killer as the government thought, ranking number 7 now instead of number 2 among the nation's leading preventable causes of death. That according to a new startling calculation from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The researchers there reported that packing on too many pounds accounts for 25,814 deaths a year right here in the United States. Now, as recently as January, the CDC came up with an estimate of 14 times higher, 365,000 deaths. They were wrong. The new analysis found that obesity, being extremely overweight, is indisputably lethal, but, like several recent smaller studies, it finds now that people who are modestly overweight actually have a lower risk of death than those of normal weight people. What a strange story. Go ahead. Have that cheeseburger, I guess. Maybe it's okay. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 5.7 struck southern Japan, swaying buildings and rattling shelves. No immediate reports of injuries or damage. There was no danger, they said, of a tsunami. The space shuttle could launch even if an independent advisory panel set up to monitor the return to flight has not signed off on every safety improvement. Mike Griffin, the new NASA administrator, said his managers and engineers would have the final say. The final approval, by the way, on the 8 recommendations that have to be done before the Columbia, because of the Columbia investigators, before the shuttle is returned to safety and flight is currently pending. Well, there's a story that is going all over the country. I'm trying to get a hold of the video. I don't have it right now. But a Bigfoot sighting in northern Manitoba. Residents have been flocking out there now to see if they can catch a glimpse of what's going on. They're also trying to see the video shot by a woman's son. His name's Bobby Clark. This video was shot after dawn on Saturday morning on the banks of the Nelson River. Now, Clark says he was on duty at his job as a car ferry operator when he saw a big black figure on the opposite bank, 300 meters away. he grabbed his video camera, which he says he always has with him, and started taping. He says the creature was massive. He says he's been nervous ever since seeing the creature, especially when he takes the ferry to the side of the river where the creature was. Several people are talking about taking a boat to that side of the river. Clark says he's not too anxious to join them. We'll try to find the video if we can get that. In Chicago, is it a water stain on the wall of an expressway viaduct? Is it a vision of the Virgin Mary? That's what more and more people are asking about a very unusual image that is formed on Fullerton Avenue on the underpass at the Kennedy Expressway. Several people flocked to the concrete wall just to see for themselves. Some stared, others pulled out their cameras. Believers say it shows the Virgin Mary with her hands folded in prayer. Some of the visitors pray themselves. If you want to take a look at that picture and the video of this wall, go to the coasttocoastam.com website under feature story. I got to tell you, I looked at it for about 22 minutes today. It is pretty, pretty astounding. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger of Germany, the Vatican's chief overseer of doctrine, has assumed the name Benedict XVI after he was elected Pope of the Roman Catholic Church following one of the shortest conclaves in history. Ratzinger, one of the closest friends and advisors to the late Pope John Paul II, appeared on the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica to offer his first words and prayers as pontiff. "The cardinals have elected me a simple, humble worker in God's vineyard," he said in Italian to the excited crowd. Pope Benedict XVI, of course, the former German cardinal now, said that he was an unwilling participant in the Hitler Youth Movement during World War II. He says, "As soon as I left the seminary, I did not go straight into the Hitler Youth. It was difficult because in order to qualify for the reduction in schooling fees that I needed, you had to prove that you had paid a visit to the Hitler Youth." When membership of the movement became compulsory in 1941, Ratzinger's older brother George joined, and the future Pope Benedict XVI was then enrolled against his will. He has said that in a number of interviews. And what is so amazing about all of this? It's the prophecy by the 16th century Catholic Saint Malachi that predicted characteristics of the last 112 popes. And did it also predict the characteristics of this one? In a moment, John Hoag, he's an expert on prophecy. He's written a book called The Last Pope. We'll talk with him on Coast to Coast AM.
Stuck with a lease you don't want? Ontario Chrysler's Barry Gray has the answer.
I don't care whose lease you drive. We'll get you out of it and into a new car right now.
If you're currently leasing any make, any model, come to Ontario Chrysler.
Why drive something you hate when we'll put you into something you'll love to drive?
Ontario Chrysler, 5280 Dixie Road, south of the 401, just past the Auto Mall. Call 1-866-BUY-JEEP.
We will save you money.
Ontario Chrysler, the big store.
Where Toronto comes every morning. The John Oakley Show.
Music file swappers, your days may in fact be numbered. If the Canadian Recording Industry Association gets its way in court, Graham Henderson is the president of the Canadian Recording Industry Association of Canada. Good to have you on the Oakley Show at 640 Toronto. Should you win in this case, what are you going to do? Go after individual users or swappers? What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's what we'll do. I mean, if we win, then we're going to have to continue to launch lawsuits against large-scale uploaders.
Wow. Well, you want to pay attention to this one. Next time on the Oakley Show, the unfit mother. Since when is being flaky a reason for taking away a woman's child? Plus, the Toronto doctor who gave up a six-figure salary for the Lord. And more of the stories behind Toronto's headlines.
The John Oakley Show, weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10. Only on the new Mojo Radio. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto. Know more. Know the truth. This is Coast to Coast. Your city, your station. 640 Toronto.
And because of what you are about to hear with regards to the prophecy of St. Malachi, I've asked John Hogue to stay with us tonight for 2 hours. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines for you. This is truly a remarkable story. John Hogue writes on the subjects of the occult, parapsychology, mysticism, and prophecy. He's considered a world authority in Nostradamus and is the best-selling author of numerous books, including Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies, and Nostradamus, The New Millennium, The Millennium Book of Prophecy, The Last Pope and Messiahs, The Visions and Prophecies for the Second Coming. His work has brought him international acclaim, and he's been published now in 18 languages, sold more than 1 million copies worldwide. In addition, he has appeared on more than 700 radio and television shows on 3 continents. You know, John, you were just on with me just a few weeks ago, and as soon as this pope took the name Pope Benedict XVI, I immediately went back and looked at some of the information you've provided, and I saw the St. Malachi prophecy, and I went, I just don't believe this. It's almost as if these popes, when they get picked, are looking at the prophecy of Malachi and they say, well, I guess that's my name. It's time for me to be that person. How does this happen?
Well, this is one of the great conundrums of the last 1,000 years, this love-hate relationship that people have had with apocalyptic seers of the Catholic sect of Christianity, especially the popes who sometimes support what they say, sometimes also try to refute what they say, and strangely enough also try to, accidentally on purpose perhaps, fit with these prophecies. For instance, just to give you an overview for your audience who don't know about it, Malachi lived in the 1140s. It was about around the time, give or take a few decades, when the last German pontiff had existed. And he made these mottos, it's purported, that are 1 or 2 to 3 Latin words per motto, 2 to 3 Latin words that are supposed to predict an aspect, describe cryptically an aspect, a theme, a name, a coat of arms of every pontiff that would precede the one that he was around with to Judgment Day. Today, the second to the last on the list of St. Malachi has been ordained as Benedict XVI. Now, the motto that Benedict has is De Gloria Olivae, from the glory of the olive. It is an interesting thing to me. A number of things come out in this name. For one thing, I just heard that the former Cardinal Ratzinger, who is now Benedict XVI, tried to explain the symbology of his name. And the symbology, as he understands it, is it's supposed to mean peace and consolation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has been known from Malachi scholars for centuries is that whoever has this name, Gloria Olivae, glory of the from the olive branch or from the olive, glory of the olive, is a great peacemaker, or at least someone who views himself as a great peacemaker. So that is interesting that he would use the name Benedict because of the last man to hold that name in the prophecies. His motto, Benedict XV, who lived during World War I, was Religio Depopulata, which means religion devastated and depopulated.
And one of the things, too, John, that I heard all day was that whoever this pope was going to be, that he would have been a Benedictine. Now, what is that? And, of course, now I'm told that now this pope was not a Benedictine. However, he takes a name very similar to that, and that's why so many people are saying another prophecy has been fulfilled.
Well, he's not a Benedictine, but he is definitely a great admirer of the great Saint Benedict, who lived, was patriarch of Western monks, who lived way back in the 547, and he's the man who created the Monte Cassino Monastery, notoriously famous for being bombed in the Great Battle of Monte Cassino in World War II. But he was born in 480 and died around 547 A.D. And he is the great, he's considered to be the man who created the monastic systems the Christian faith, and had much to do with creating rules and regulations as well as a form of listening. I mean, his name means good listener, good speaker, bene, dict. And he was the man who created the, was very influential in creating the modern Western world as from a spiritual context. So when you know also that the mentor to Cardinal Ratzinger, the current new pope, was Paul VI, who turned St. Benedict into the patron saint of Europe, I can predict with pretty sure confidence that Benedict XVI will attempt to restore many people leaving the church in Europe back to the Catholic Church. That will be his major effort in his attempt to be a great listener. A lot of people will hope that he also hears what they have to say. And he will try, because the Catholic populations in Europe have been dwindling fast. Of course, there are also many people who believe that his past existence as what used to be called the Grand Inquisitor, the head of doctrine and faith, the congregation of doctrine and faith, was the enforcer of John Paul II's rather conservative interpretation of theology.
John, would you agree that St. Malachi, when he made these predictions, he started, I guess, apparently after the death of Innocent II, in that apparently he named exactly 112 popes from that time on until the end. Is that true? Is that accurate?
Yes, he did. At least it's been purported that it was from St. Malachi. However, there is a possibility that since these documents did not resurface until a famous Benedictine historian, Dom Wion, created the history of the Benedictine order, he inserted these prophecies in a couple pages in this huge tome on the Benedictines, mistakenly calling St. Malachi a Benedictine. He was a Cistercian. The founding saint of that was St. Bernard, who was a very close friend of St. Malachi.
Because apparently these prophecies weren't found until, what, 1590?
1590.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, it is a bit suspicious to see how one can find all these mottos up to that point, up to the last 36 mottos, up to 1590, that just basically hit spot on. I tell you, from over 30 years of studying prophetic traditions of the world, there is no such thing as 100% average in prophecy.
No, I know.
If that's the case, if things are written in stone and so dead and static, then the present that creates that future would be equally dead and static, and it isn't.
Well, let's assume for just a split moment here, John, that maybe there was some forgery going on here or a hoax.
Up to
1590. But from 1590 up to now, wasn't there still accuracy?
Well, this is why it wasn't what would be usually called a hoax, but something that you commonly see in many spiritual writers of many religions, where the style of the writing changes because another man under the name of some famous illustrious prophet, and Malachi did make his own predictions in his own time other than this set of mottos, whoever this person is, they've used the great prophet as a pseudonym. And this person, I contest, is a great prophet in his own right.
In his own right. Now, it was not Nostradamus.
No. Okay. He had been dead since over 40 years after these arrived. It could be Wion himself, the man who wrote this great Benedictine book, or it could have been Cacionius, another commentator that it was commented on in this book. But it could be somebody who remains anonymous. But one thing that's remarkable about this man, even though certainly the focus, as I show in my book, The Last Pope, you can see in a chart how the focus of his prophecies dramatically changes after they're published. But unlike hoaxers, these prophecies remain 80% accurate, which is one of the finest accuracy rates I have ever seen in any prophetic tradition. So is it Malachi? Probably not. Is it a false prophet? No. He is a real prophet, whoever this mystery man was, under the name of St. Malachi, and he gets more accurate as he comes into our time.
Is there a message in the particular name of this new pope, Pope Benedict XVI?
Well, this day is a day of just trying to reckon many things. For instance, there are some messages I'm still trying to just absorb. The onslaught of information that has come from this, certainly we also have not seen his coat of arms yet, which I would imagine in the next week shall surface. And it's very important in the prophecies of St. Malachi because many of the people's coat of arms have been described. To give you an example, Paul VI, who made Benedict the patron saint of Europe, was called Flos Florum, flower among flowers. And his coat of arms had a fleur-de-lis with two fleur-de-lis behind it. That's a classic Malachian motto situation. So I am very keen to see. I know some reader just recently tried to say that maybe the Olivetians were part of the Benedictines, and there was another name for the Benedictines, but so far as I look at my own research, I think the Olivetians are a completely separate group. I'm just trying to absorb the flood of information, some of it erroneous, some of it urban legends, and the thing that I find most interesting, which I'd like to get back to, is this, and I may have to wait till the break to really get into this deeply, but the reason why a pope chooses a name is always very, very significant. It has many layers. For instance, John Paul I, who only was a pope for less than a month, way back in 1978, John Paolo, the last Italian pope, loved the pastoral qualities of John the 23rd, who created the Vatican II, and he also loved the Pauline, the great evangelism of Paul VI, of a man who, up until John Paul II, was the most traveled pope in history.
Well, I've got to ask you, John, and we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. If this prophet, whether it's Malachi or someone else, has been so accurate, 80% plus, all the way down the line here on these popes, and predicted then that there will be one more pope, and we're also hearing predictions that this pope will live until 2009, 2010. I want to talk with you about that later, too. But if these prophecies are correct, what does this actually mean, then, with this last pope, this one, Peter of Rome, I guess, that is supposed to be the final pope? What does that mean?
Well, it means that we're in the final days and of this. And then also what I can get into after the break is this is why it's so amazing to me that this pope has picked Benedict, reflecting back to Benedict the 15th.
Are you saying this is end times?
I'm saying that the Benedict the 15th, who survived the great depopulation of his religion through World War I, attempted to forestall world wars from ever happening, and the leaders of the world, except for Woodrow Wilson, ignored him. And by ignoring him, a greater world war came. Is the former Cardinal Ratzinger, as the new Benedict, as the peacemaker and consoler, as the Benedictine lover, is he saying we are at the verge of a third world war if we don't create ways in which to prevent it through peace and love of Christ?
John, stay with us. We will be back with you in just a moment. John Hogue's website, of course, I'll spell it for you, H-O-G-U-E, HogueProphecy.com, is linked up right now to his name at CoastToCoastAM.com. We will come back and continue talking about this remarkable story and this indeed remarkable prophecy of this pope's name, Pope Benedict XVI. Was it indeed foreseen back 800-plus years ago? Somebody did. Somebody saw it. And the next hour, we'll open up the phone lines for you to talk with John Hogue. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. We'll be right back.
640 Toronto 24-hour news center. Here's what Toronto is talking about.
Toronto Catholics celebrate the new Pope, and killers still on the loose after a Toronto teen is shot dead. It's 19 degrees at 1:30. Some thunderstorms on the way. Good morning, I'm Shauna Hunt. It's a day of celebration for the German Catholic community in Toronto. One of their own, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, has been chosen as the new Pope. 640 Toronto's Daniela Bellata tells us there was some surprise at St. Michael's Cathedral with the announcement.
Monsignor Samuel Bianco, the rector here at St. Mike's, is surprised.
It would be a little longer drawn out process, but it's obvious that it was a consensus in the minds of the cardinals, and the fact that they moved so rapidly.
He says he suspects Cardinal Ratzinger was chosen because over the last 5 or so years, he carried much of the behind-the-scenes workload for Pope John Paul II, and the voting cardinals wanted to recognize his contributions. Also, he says he was also likely selected for his personal and intellectual qualities. Outside St. Mike's Cathedral in downtown Toronto, Daniela Bellata, 640 Toronto News.
Three teens accused with the first-degree murder of a Toronto boy known only as Jonathan will be back in court today. It's expected a retrial day will be set. A mistrial was declared back in February. The 12-year-old boy was found brutally stabbed to death in his East End Toronto home 2 years ago. And police are still hunting the killers of a Toronto teen shot to death in Parkdale. 18-year-old Joseph Jones was walking his bike in the Queen and Jameson area Monday night when several shots were fired. 640 Toronto Sports, Roy Halladay has his third win of the season after going 8 strong innings in Toronto's 4-3 win over the Boston Red Sox. And 640 Toronto's got live play-by-play tonight as the Baby Leafs compete in their last ever AHL playoffs. Before coming to Toronto, they face Manitoba tonight at 7. 640 Toronto weather, early morning showers, a good chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Today's high, 17. It's 19 degrees at the corner of Yonge and Dundas at 131. I'm Shauna Hunt with Toronto's in-depth news every 30 minutes and breaking news as it happens.
Hello, this is Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Imagine a knife-wielding burglar enters your home. Ask other alarm companies if they can hear you screaming. It happened to one of our subscribers, and when our live operator got on board, the burglar fled. He knew that the authorities were really on the way. Ask our competition what they could have done to prove to the burglar that the authorities were being dispatched. Only Alarm Force has Alarm Voice trademark technology. If you are afraid of a confrontation, you want to have Alarm Voice interactive technology.
Attention, this is the Alarm Force Central Station. Identify yourself immediately. The authorities have been dispatched.
Alarm Force will install their superior two-way voice alarm in your home for free. All you'll ever pay is $25 a month for the monitoring. Dial 1-800-267-2001 today.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force!
Alarm Force is listed on the TSX.
640 Toronto presents Safe City, the Toronto Crime Stoppers fundraising gala. It's a night of gourmet dining, silent auctions, prize raffles, and demonstrations by Toronto Police Service's tactical teams. Safe City, the Toronto Crime Stoppers gala on Wednesday, May 18th at the Liberty Grand Exhibition Place. From 640 Toronto, your city, your station.
Conspiracies, confusion, contradictions. Ask the questions. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
Thank you.
You're listening to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And our special guest for the next 2 hours, of course, John Hoag, as we talk about prophecy and the name of this particular pope as well. Hey, yesterday I asked you all for a favor. I'm going to continue to do that for the next couple days. I'm helping out an organization called Children International. They've asked me to be a spokesperson for them, and I have volunteered to do that. As a matter of fact, I'm sponsoring a little five-year-old girl named Maritza. And we had her picture up on the website yesterday and for the better part of today. This is really what they want. They want 100 of you, just 100 of you, to sponsor a child. It's $18 a month, 60 cents a day. They ask for a year commitment, but again, it's $18 a month. If you can afford it, this is a pretty good cause, I'll tell you, for you. And, for example, the little kid I'm sponsoring, her family takes in $161 a month. That's it. That's their entire income. They're lucky. They've got running water, but they don't have electricity. So if you want to sponsor a little child, all you have to do is go to this website, children.org, okay, children.org, or call this toll-free number, 1-800-869-9863. That's 1-800-869-9863. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, you will be able to look on the left-hand side. You'll see a yellow box that keeps flashing. That will also get you straight to their website, and they've got their goal there. They've got a quota of what they would like. They'd like 100 kids sponsored. I would like a couple thousand, to tell you the truth. So if you can afford it, go ahead and take care of it.
You're weaving, dodging, winding, twisting. You're not really wasted. You're just slightly buzzed. It's late. There's not many cars on the road. You're not hurting anyone. You'll make it home, and no one will be the wiser. Or you could get caught by a ride, pay a hefty fine, and have your license suspended. Or if you're really unlucky, you could kill someone. Be responsible. Don't drive when you're loaded.
640 Toronto, the home of the Leafs, brings playoff hockey back to Toronto. Saturday, April 30th, the AHL comes to Air Canada Center for playoff game number 6, when the St. John's Maple Leafs take on the Manitoba Moose. Tickets go on sale this Thursday, but 640 Toronto insiders get special first-in-line access for the best seats in the house. Go to 640toronto.com, join the 640 Toronto insider, and buy your tickets before they go public. With every ticket you purchase, we'll even throw in a Toronto Marley souvenir t-shirt. The St. John's Maple Leafs, the future Toronto Marley. Face off against the Manitoba Moose, Saturday, April 30th. To get your special first-in-line access to tickets, go to 640toronto.com.
The untold will unfold. This is Coast to Coast, your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
John, this prophecy from what could be St. Malachi or someone, let's also talk about Nostradamus for a moment, of which you are indeed also an expert in. What did he say about the last popes?
Well, he tends to follow similar Catholic views of which are called the warning and the chastisement prophecies. For non-Catholic Christians are a little... It's a little different from the more evangelical Christian view of the tribulation and Armageddon. It's a little more focused on what happens to the church, and it often talks about, or at least a lot of Catholic prophetic thinkers are concerned that soon, either this pope or the next, we will have apostasy, a false pope, somebody who is leading the church into its greatest crisis, which will be its greatest test. And usually it is seen in these prophecies, and Nostradamus in his many quatrains that allude to the future of the pontificacy seems to describe a similar issue, and that is the destruction of Rome and the necessity for the Pope to become a refugee.
Now, when you say the destruction of Rome, John, are you talking about the physical destruction or the spiritual destruction?
Well, as ever, Nostradamus makes it hard by giving two prophecies that deal with both. One that talks about the fading of Rome through its blood and substance of its dogmas and doctrines. But he also uses a very strange term, which is wounding up the sleeve, which is almost like a man from 16th century trying to describe something that wasn't done in his time, but he probably foresaw in the future, and that what I came to understand is a syringe into the arm. A little knifing that wounds all up the sleeve and needling. And it may imply, as some of the prophecies of Nostradamus imply, that John Paul I, who preceded John Paul II, was suspiciously murdered because of his attempt to expose the very day he was found dead in his bed and the evidence of the drugs he took for his low blood pressure, his jelly beans that he ate, all these things were destroyed by his curial, the head of his curia, Cardinal Solo.
Something to do with the Vatican Bank or something?
Yes, the Vatican Bank scandal, which, is, interestingly enough, is probably one of the reasons why you don't often see Godfather 3 on the movie channels, because it is not as bad a movie as some people seem to brush it off to be. It's more because of the anger that is caused by the church that Coppola did a lightly veiled fictional version of what may have happened in 1978 to the first John Paul, that he was poisoned because he was about to expose the Vatican Bank scandal, which would have had heavy connections with P2 neo-fascist groups and and Sedona's Ambrosia Bank in Milan that were laundering upwards to $600,000 of money, drug money, through the Vatican Bank. And so that would be perhaps Nostradamus describing the needling of the arm that would be undermining the substance and blood of the church. That's one of his prophecies. The others are more towards the same kind of thinking that you see in other Catholic seers who see, as diverse as Nostradamus or St. John Bosco from the 19th century, who literally see the Pope has to leave Rome because of some tremendous natural or warfare disaster, the destruction of Rome in flames, and the Pope has to leave his abode. Now, what is intriguing to me about Gloria Olivae, the motto that Malachi gives to now the current Pope, Benedict XVI, is there's two ways to look at that. There is the way that one would hope in that Olivae is being the olive, symbolizing olive branch, peace, the dove of peace with the olive branch and its beak symbolically, is a great peacemaker, and in so doing forestalls or prevents the warning and chastisement prophecies from happening in our times. That's what one would hope. But the other side, which I've already been writing about in the last pope since 7 years ago, is that this pope would have to face the destiny of being the man who lives through the Christ's prophecies that were delivered on the Mount of Olives, which is considered, right, it's in Matthew 24, chapters 24 and 25, and it's considered to be a smaller miniature version of the Book of Revelation's Apocalypse in of St. John the Divine.
Is there anything, John, that you've seen?
Just to finish quickly, okay, the point I'm getting to, there's a lot of complex things here to deal with in a short time. What that can allude to is the destruction of the temple that Jesus was talking about. The destruction and resurrection of the temple can mean about his own temple, his own body, or it means the accurate foreseen destruction of the temple of the Israelites by the Romans a few decades later. But it also is alluded in Catholic prophecy to the destruction of their great temple, the Vatican, forcing the Pope to leave. And so this may be the reign of the one who suffers this.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you, because there have been some that have prophesied that the Pope will leave the Vatican for his own safety while Rome's destroyed.
Yes.
And now, does that Pope come back? And are we talking about a period where the Antichrist is here?
Well, this brings me back to yes, possibly, because if we go back to the more specific detailed prophecies about the Antichrist from Nostradamus, of course, he saw it in a unique way. He saw three Antichrists, the first called Napoleon, Napoleon King, the second called Hitler, the third called Mabus, maybe U.S., and as we've spoken often on the show about it, I won't go into too much detail here except to just simply say that we are, according to Nostradamus' predictions by dating, give or take a year here or there. It was supposed to start in 1999, September of 1999. Perhaps he was off on the year and right on the month.
Right.
But the war, the great world war that this new Benedict is trying to forestall, is the war we're already in, but because it's different from the other world wars, we're not quite seeing it in the same way people saw World War One and Two. We are seeing this as a more chaotic war, which is more like a global civil war rather than a war of great alliances fighting each other with great armies. It's a breakdown of society that's caused by a number of reasons. Overpopulation, stress, ecological stress, the fact that we cannot supply the demands of a exploding population, and that this Pope is in his reign for however length. Ignores the stockpile that they have in their own. If people, for instance, another visionary around the time of the others. and the Koreans to clean up their house, you have to look at your conceit, nuclear conceit. And unless all people together at once decide to destroy these terrible weapons at the same time and help each other, then they will never be destroyed.
Well, I've got to tell you, though, with, you know, the fact that the did use two nuclear bombs during World War II. It did, as horrible as it was, it did bring the Japanese government to its knees and did stop it.
I'm so glad that you brought this up, because this has to be one of the great mythologies of the 20th century. And only Peter Jennings actually had the courage in the 50th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima to do a very interesting documentary that put into question that wonderful mythology that we in America follow, the idea that the Japanese surrendered because of atomic weapons attacking Hiroshima and Nagasaki. If you ask the Japanese and study their own records, that's not what happened at all. It was the invasion of 2 million Soviet soldiers into Manchuria and the invasion of the Kuril Islands, that is just north of Hokkaido, with 50,000 Soviet troops ready to take northern Japan and turn it into a communist state. They had decided, after 6 months of back-channel negotiations with the Americans, to deal, in their view, a pact with the devil that was more their kind of devil than the godless communists. And it was not an unconditional surrender. There was a verbal promise by Secretary of State of Truman to allow the Emperor of Japan to remain on his throne. So the Japanese thought the lesser unthinkable, and they surrendered to the West. You know, the day after Hiroshima was bombed was the day the Soviets invaded Manchuria and wiped out whole Japanese armies. The Japanese in the Diet didn't even know about the firebombing for days. They thought it was just another firebombing, and the comments that some of the leaders of the cabinet said when they realized that it was one bomb rather than a whole fleet of planes that destroyed Hiroshima, they just shrugged and said, whether it's one bomb or 1,000 planes dropping bombs, it's the same result. And these were and as I paraphrase, you know, you can look and see the splinter of wood in the eye of the person you're looking at the loss of seeing the entire being stuck in your own eye, to paraphrase the famous phrase from the Bible. And what that's saying is, you know, you judge other people, but look at if you're really going to change anything first, you've got to look at yourself. And we as a nation need to look at, if we're going to be above crimes against humanity, we also have to look at some of the crimes we've committed and own up to it and get straight with it and realize that we're still capable and in some regards, eager to use nuclear weapons again, more than some of the other people that were pointing the finger getting all excited about.
Does the date 2012 come up at all in prophecy?
Well, it comes up because of Jose Arguelles' fascinating and imaginative ideas about the Mayan calendar, which, of course, I've always been quite critical of, because it overlooks actually the more interesting date in prophecy, which is 2008, which is the end of the... there is a grand procession in astrological predictions called the Procession of the Equinox, which is how many times it takes every... how long it takes a constellation, to all the 12 tropical constellations, to pass through the position of the equinox, pass behind the sun. It takes roughly 26,771 some years. You break that down, the cosmic month in this grand year then is 2,150 years, which is your age of Pisces, your age of Aquarius. We're in a new month. We just entered a new month in this calendar. If you scale down to the day, a day consists of 72 normal years divided into 36-year segments, and that is a cosmic day or a yang or a male-oriented energy that falls into the cycle of the more intuitive, subjective 36 years of cosmic night, a yin, a feminine period. And in 2008, we switch from 36 years in the day cycle into the night, and it's huge. It's far more significant immediately to our future as a nation, to our future of the world. It gets kind of all lost in this erroneous 2011-2012 stuff for the Mayan calendar.
Let's stay with us, John. We'll be back in a moment as we take questions, your phone calls. This Pope's name is Pope Benedict XVI. Was that predicted? Somebody did a long time ago. Back in a moment.
Get it in writing with the After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505.
Did you know that 70% of Canadians don't have a legal will? Over the next decade, more than $700 billion will be held in Canadian banks from people who have died without making a will, leaving loved ones in financial and emotional distress. Young or old, married or single, widowed or divorced, everybody needs a legal will. Without a legal will, others may decide who gets your belongings and who will become the guardian of your children. The Canadian Legal Will Kit is easy to use. Just follow the instructions to make a will that's legal in all provinces. At $29.95, it saves you time, money, and legal costs. Writing your will is not about you. It's about the people you care about. It's about putting in place today what is needed to keep them safe tomorrow. You don't need a lawyer. The Canadian Legal Will Kit makes it easy and legal.
Call now, and the Canadian Legal Will Kit is on its way. 1-888-461-0744. Do it. 1-888-461-0744.
It's tough living in Toronto. Taxes, house prices, traffic. But it's still a pretty great city. We like it so much that it's all we do. At 640 Toronto News, our team spends every waking moment digging behind Toronto's headlines for the stories and information that will affect you and your family. In a city this size, there are a lot of stories to tell. And while other stations don't seem to think taking the time to tell these stories is important, we do. Your news, your views, your city. We're 640 Toronto.
Unusual, unexplained, unstoppable. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto. No NHL? No problem. Get caught up with everything happening in the world of hockey. Weeknights at 8 on Hockey Tonight on the home of hockey in Toronto and the home of the Leafs. 640 Toronto. The stories behind Toronto's headlines. On the City, weeknights 6 to 8. Your city, your station. 640 Toronto.
From the 640 Toronto 24-hour news center, here is what Toronto is talking about.
A body found near the Sky Dome and Toronto Catholics welcome their new pope. It's 17 degrees at 2 o'clock. Some thunderstorms on the way. Good morning. I'm Shauna Hunt. Toronto Homicide are now investigating after a body was discovered down by the Sky Dome. Police tell 640 Toronto the body of a man was found outside the Steam Whistle Brewery just before midnight. Now, cops are on scene investigating and say they do suspect foul play. There's no ID on the body yet or information on suspects. Toronto police are also on scene of a very serious accident on Bathurst. And Bathurst at Wilson is closed in both directions this hour. There are reports the accident involved police and that the SIU may be called in to investigate. Keep with 640 Toronto for the latest on these breaking stories. Toronto's German Catholic community is celebrating the announcement of a new German Pope, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, or Pope Benedict the 16th. 640 Toronto's John Downs has this in-depth report from St. Patrick's Church.
The listeners here, members of Toronto's German community, are crying tears of joy. I spoke to Maria, who works in the office. She can't find enough nice things to say about the world's new pope.
He's not only a fine-looking man, but he's so peaceful, and he wrote wonderful articles and books, and he's smart, and he's very, very humble, too.
I asked the German priest here, Father Opa, if he predicted this outcome. He told me, no way. He thought Ratzinger was too old. At St. Patrick's Catholic Church at Dundas in the call. John Downs, 640 Toronto News.
640 Toronto Sports. The Jays edged Boston 4-3 last night. Toronto is now 9-6. There was no progress made after a six-hour meeting between the NHL and its players. A Board of Governors meeting goes today. And 640 Toronto will carry game one of the Baby Leafs first-round AHL playoff series against Manitoba tonight at 7. 640 Toronto weather. Some afternoon thunderstorms today. A high of 17. It's 17 degrees at the corner of Yonge and Dundas at 201. I'm Shauna Hunt with Toronto's in-depth news every 30 minutes, and breaking news as it happens.
It's a collection of legal power that would cost $500 or more if done through a lawyer. Now, everything you need for total estate planning is yours in the new Master Estate Kit. First, you'll receive a legal will kit with simple instructions that lets you complete it in an hour or so. Second, a living will kit that guarantees your wishes are followed in case of a terminal injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that lets you name someone else to make financial or health decisions for you. And finally, a bonus estate planning guide, one that shows you how to update a will, avoid probate, save on capital gains tax, and more. The Master Estate Kit, an $80 value, yours for just $39.95 if you order now. Have a charge card handy and call 1-800-221-0621 to order your Master Estate Kit. Only $39.95 plus shipping. Your satisfaction is fully guaranteed. Call 800-221-0621 now. That's 800-221-0621.
G&G Electronics has Canada's favorite television, the Sony Grand Vega. And get this, a new lower price. Grand Vega is the number one Canadian seller because of the picture. Big screen images that make the Grand Vega an obvious decision. Really, all you have to do is go to G&G and see for yourself. Of course, with the new lower price, that someday promise you made to yourself is here today. Go visit Gary and the gang at G&G. Best price. First time, every time. Kingston Road in Morningside. Online at ggelectronics.com.
Got your protection bill?
I don't know where you're going with this one, Jeffy, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
Safety footwear from the Stores with More.
Kodiak and Iseco Superstores.
Over 200 styles.
Safety footwear for both men and women.
We're talking a big selection.
How big?
Kodiak and Iseco stores have the best selection of safety footwear on the planet.
Planet? Jeffy, nice one.
See for yourself at the Kodiak plus Iseco Superstores, including Quinte Mall Belleville and Green Lane Center Newmarket.
I'm just like you. I have a job that I like most of the time. I have family that drives me crazy, and
I like going to movies. So we have a lot in common. We could even be friends.
Give it a chance. Except for one thing. You might not want to be my friend because of the way I look. Right now, I'm on the radio.
And you don't know if I'm tall, short, white, Asian, African. You don't know my religion, or even if I have one. And you don't know how long I've lived in Canada.
Some people look at me and think I wasn't born here.
There's one thing I want you to know about me. I am proud to be a Canadian.
I live in Canada because it's the greatest country in the world. I'm a good Canadian, and I work hard to make a good life for my family. And I think that's more important than what I look like, don't you?
Just a thought. From your friends at 640 Toronto.
Toronto's news, experts, opinion. The John Oakley Show. Weekday mornings 5:30 to 10. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
Time to get real answers. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, next hour, Jordan Maxwell will join us. Now, this Pope is 78 years old now. What does prophecy say about how long he will reign? We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls with our guest, John Hogue, on Coast to Coast AM.
You're owed money. Can-Do Credit Consulting will get it for you anywhere in the world. Courts take too long. Collection agencies have only a 10% success rate. You need someone who takes a personal interest. Here's Doug Cannon.
It's all about using creative solutions to retrieve your money. It's not about being tough. It's about being resourceful. And at Can-Do, we keep going and going and going.
Thousands of businesses use Can-Do, as featured in the Toronto Star. Details at CanDoCreditConsulting.com.
Call me direct at 416-254-1000.
416-254-1000. 4-1000.
640 Toronto, the home of the Leafs, presents the 5th annual Esso Street Hockey Jamboree with the Leaf alumni this Sunday. We're closing off Yonge Street from Queen to Dundas Square for some good old-fashioned family street hockey. To register a team, go to 640toronto.com. Spaces are limited, so submit your application today. Then, pick your teammates, tape up your sticks, and start practicing, because you might even get a chance to face off against a team of Leaf legends. Street hockey returns to Yonge Street, the 5th annual Esso Street Hockey Jamboree this Sunday from the home of the Leafs, 640 Toronto. Why aren't these stories being told? Find out now on Coast to Coast, your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
John, this Pope is 78 years old. He is not young. Why do you think they picked somebody this old?
Well, I think I said on the show last time that if they were picking a transitional pope, they would pick Ratzinger.
Yes.
And that, when I originally wrote The Last Pope, I thought he was a real long shot, but over the last few years, it makes, at least, I wouldn't call it a prophecy, but at least an educated guess, but even then, that's a hard one to make with these, but he's definitely a man that is not going to live as long as John Paul did. He is 20 years older, receiving the Ring of St. Peter, than John Paul was. So John Paul, you could then calculate a 6 or 7 year pontificacy. But then also you got to look at what happened with the successor to Pius IX, who was a very long-lived pope, longest lived since St. Peter back in the 19th century. He was followed by a Pope Leo who was sickly, and a transitional pope who then lived for 25 years. So from what I get, it's so hard to get reports that are actually accurate about the health status of popes. It's one of my favorite jokes of John Paul II when when somebody would ask, "How's your health?" which they often did, he said, "Well, I haven't checked the newspapers yet."
Yeah. How true.
So, you know, I've heard everything from Benedict the 16th having heart problems in the mid-1990s to being, what I just heard recently on Larry King, a robust, for an old man of his age. And again, I think the Benedict will have to look at the newspapers to find out what his health really is. But be that as it may, beyond all levity aside, he's 78 years old. He may at least get 6 to 10, maybe 10 years in if he keeps healthy. He's already made it pretty clear that he's not going to be traveling extensively as he did as his predecessor. And it also indicates the only confirmed trip that he's got coming is a youth gathering in Germany. And all signs that initially show, with his namesake and his ideas, is he's going to be traveling extensively across Europe to perhaps forestall something that's another opinion in prophecy, especially Catholic prophecy, that the European Union is in some way a resurgence of the evil Rome of St. John of Patmos' time. And that if a good pope is to forestall that, like Benedict the Great monk saved the Western culture with his monasteries, as many Benedictines believe, then by calling himself Benedict, he's going to try to do the same thing and perhaps use some of the symbols of the original Benedict. The original symbols, and Ratzinger, Benedict the 16th, is very, very keen on symbolic gestures, even more so than his predecessor. So one has to look at the symbols of Benedict, the broken goblet, the raven, and the rod. St. Benedict, the story goes that somebody tried to poison him, and he found out about it. The cup was broken, and he summoned a raven to help carry the cup away. And also his other symbol is that of the rod for corporal punishment. And they are whipping the wicked, or using the Zen, what the East would call the Zen stick, hit people over the head with things so that they see things clearly. That was also an aspect of St. Benedict. I would imagine that that Benedict the 16th sees himself symbolically as this kind of person to bring the youth of Europe and the people of Europe away from secularism. He's made it very clear that that his form of ecumenicalism is not to so much share what is in common in religions, but to basically declare that his religion is the number one religion and it's the truest religion. It's an interesting thing when you look at it from the grander scope of predictive astrology. We are now in the transit of Pluto through Sagittarius, and in layman's terms, what that means since the mid-90s, the world has been going towards, on a collective level, more interest in religious matters. But often the masses usually apply the lower standard rather than the higher standard, the higher mind and interest that this symbolically shows. And what they're doing is we're seeing a lot more, as astrologers predicted would happen, a lot more religious extremism. People being more righteously saying, well, my God's better than your God, my religion's better than your religion. In fact, your religion is evil, and not only my religion is good. And I unfortunately have to say that that kind of collective climate is only just beginning to increase. And by the time the transit ends in the middle of the next decade, we're going to see a fever pitch of this in all religions.
If Malachi is correct, or whoever prophesied the last pope, by calling him Peter the Roman, does that mean that his name will be Peter and he will be Italian?
Well, it would certainly, from face value, he would be some Italian named Pietro, and he would be from Rome, or from the Latin province of Rome. And that would be the obvious educated guess. What is the reality is that no pope other than the first pope will ever be called officially Peter. That is the name only given to the Apostle Peter, who was the first bishop of Rome. It was the only name that he told. Anybody who would use that name would be an anti-pope. So if he did use it, he must be an anti-pope as an official name. But that doesn't rule out that he might have a symbol of the fisherman, the Apostle Peter, in his coat of arms. It doesn't rule out his name being Pietro before he takes on his Latinized name as Pope, or that he's involved in some monastic order or archdiocese that is like a place for the sailors. That means a city that's symbolized by sailors and fishermen. Well, that would be Venice. So it could be that he's the Archbishop of Venice. I would be watching very closely for whoever is the Archbishop of Venice for the next pope.
It would be fascinating to watch, John.
Yeah, and these are the number of things to look at. I was wondering if Gloria Olive would, because of the olive branches in the coat of arms of the Archdiocese coat of arms of Milan, I started to wonder if perhaps Dionigi Tetamanzi would really be the key candidate.
Yeah.
But still, I got the strong feeling, and as I do in this, I try to show all sides of the potentials in prophecy, but it was really leaning towards Ratzinger, and I wasn't that surprised.
Let's say it. Let's go to the phones. You ready?
Okay.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on with us. Where are you calling from?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a couple of angles. First of all, I know that some earlier editions of the Visions of Malachi list 111, and around 1600 or 1700, they started publishing the 112th one. I wondered if you had heard of that.
Well, there's some difference of opinion about that. I mean, the list that I have from Dom Arnold Weon has the coda with it, and I know that there was quite a campaign after that list appeared from the Jesuits to do kind of a smear campaign to kind of poo-poo the prophecies. So I think that the argument that states that the coda is added is just one of those arguments.
But I think it's an intriguing sort of aspect to it. I mean, the whole possibility that, you know, like for whatever reason, they would either be trying to say, well, maybe, you know, maybe suggesting that the church is continuing, even though this might be, this one right now might be the last true pope, you know, as opposed to an anti-pope.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, as I said in the book, in the beginning of my book, The Last Pope, I said, how would Americans feel if in the Library of Congress somebody uncovered a document that was written by George Washington, who was known to make prophecies, and in it, it listed a codified succession of presidents to the end of America.
Right.
And we were just too...
With their names, away. And it was accurate.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, what do you think the CIA and the current American administration...
Oh, that was the second part of my question, actually.
I mean, whether they were...
I was going to ask
whether they were liberal or Democrat, they would probably try to squelch that. Go ahead.
I was going to refer to an earlier show that you had about the JFK thing and the whole Skull and Bones possible Nazi funding connection. And, you know, in light of this situation with the Pope.
Or was specifically in what regards? Oh, the Nazi connection?
Well, sure, but I mean, yeah.
Well, Ratzinger has clearly made it, and I think it's pretty clear in his writings. I mean, one thing that this Pope, new Pope, is a man who's right up front with his views about things, whether one likes them or not. And I think he made it quite clear that he had no connection with the being. Every teenage boy was in the Hitler Youth.
Whether they wanted to or not.
Yeah, and there's enough evidence, which I've also corroborated, that his family was quite staunchly anti-Nazi, and it was only because he was, you know, if you said, no, I don't want to be conscripted into the flak crews around Munich, you'd be shot. So he deserted, which was very dangerous. He could have definitely been caught and shot. But anyway, is there another question clear?
Let's move on. We've got so many people jamming up here. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good,
tonight?
Good. Where are you calling from, sir?
Miami, Florida.
Okay, welcome, and go ahead.
Well, let me get straight to the point and say that it seems to be accepted that both the prophecies of St. Malachi and the predictions of Nostradamus are filtered through second parties as far as pop culture goes. And in listening to the show over the past year, it seems to be substantiated that secret societies have existed as far back as when these prophecies were first, well, published, I suppose.
That's probably accurate.
Okay. So how does this link up to, it just seems kind of suspect that when you talk about these prophecies coming into play and coupled with the bank scandal, that happened, the Vatican. Before the times of discoveries of St. Malachi's prophecies, is there a possibility of deliberate manufactured propaganda over the ages, or, John, do you lend it to divine prophecy?
Well, this is the key debate, because it is my experience of prophetic traditions of different religions and groups and cultures is there is a very hefty bit of what I call propaganda involved in all prophecy. And this is one of the things that I try hardest to clean off the mirror of the future, all the dirt and dust of people's expectations. Some of them are innocently gathered, for instance, prophecies that would generally make Americans happy that would see somebody else being the bad guy with nuclear weapons. They don't seem to want to see the prophecies that actually make them the bad guys with nuclear weapons. And the similar things with, for instance, one of the great prophecies of all time, which is very much in our minds today, beyond secret societies of the 15th century, let us look at the Book of Revelation and see that the pillar of its entire existence about the beast and the number of the beast clearly spells out in Hebraic letters turned to numbers. Either two possibilities, because the number comes up in two editions. It's either 616 or it's 666, the number of the beast. And in both cases, that spells out in Greek Nero Kaiser and Caligula Kaiser, which Kaiser is Greek for Caesar. It became Kaiser in German as well. Now, if St. John, and whichever St. John this is, and it's not completely clear whether it's the Apostle John or another, many Johns in those days, whether this prophet is actually, if he's talking about our times, the whole focus of the beast and the Antichrist is named after somebody who's a contemporary of his own. And it would make a lot of sense in the case of Caligula. Caligula had set up a statue of Jupiter in the Holy Temple of Jerusalem, which is blasphemous. And so he would be like the evilest of the evil for doing that. And Nero was the great persecutor of Christians and responsible for the slaughter of St. Paul and St. Peter. So if you ever saw antichrists in a contemporary context, these are them. Now, if St. John constantly is saying that it's going to happen any time now, he makes it very immediate in his words in the book of Revelation, one would think that he actually meant this thing to happen in his own time. Now, either through certain designs or certain mistakes, for 2,000 years, people have been propagating a propaganda that the doomsday is coming in our near future, the one that St. John foresaw 2,000 years ago in Revelation. But I don't see a Nero Caesar walking around or a Caligula. This is a classic example, and I'm actually going to write a book about this whole issue. It goes beyond what's going on with the LaHaye interpretations of the Bible and other doomsday interpreters, is that there's a lot of profligating going on around here, and we don't really know what these prophecies, even if they're really about our times.
But is it possible we may never have end times?
Well, you know, the very essence of what is revelatory, if one is to have a revelation, a true revelation, it seems to me that it would be something that would be so different from anything that one expected. You know, enlightenment. If we can sit here in our endarkenment and describe the shape and nature of enlightenment without being enlightened, then when that enlightenment comes, this is absurd.
How would we know it?
Yeah, I mean, our religions are constantly talking about our enlightenment, but clearly we are not enlightened to that state, and so if it comes, if and when it comes, the revelation of such an enlightenment will probably shatter all our dogmas and ideas about what end time is. It might be beginning time. It may be no time. And so it is one of the things I've noticed, that many end time prophets are incredibly accurate right up to these days. And now we're obviously about to open an event, an envelope, come through something that we haven't been before. This century is going to see something amazing, messianic even. But I think one of the main things that's in our way of us understanding what it will be is our fixation on our unenlightened projections on what that enlightenment's going to be.
All right, John, stay with us for the final half hour and the rest of the phone calls. And then at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the program's regular guest tonight, Jordan Maxwell, as well. If you want to email me, well, that's very simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. John Hoag's website, of course, linked up with his name right now at coasttocoastam.com. But it is Hoag, H-O-G-U-E, prophecy.com. We're talking about a couple of his books, really, The Last Pope, and also we're including Nostradamus because of prophecy. Nostradamus, A Life in Myth. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com.
From the 640 Toronto 24-Hour News Center, here is what Toronto is talking about.
Toronto
cops investigate the discovery of a body, and Toronto Catholics welcome their new pope. It's 16 degrees at 2:30. Some thunderstorms on the way. Good morning, I'm Shauna Hunt. Toronto Homicide has been called in after the body of a man was discovered down by the Skydome. Now, the body was found just before midnight outside of the Steam Whistle Brewery, and police say there are obvious signs of trauma. At this point, there's no word on suspects, and police have yet to identify the victim. Toronto cops also on scene of a very serious accident on Bathurst. Now, Bathurst at Wilson is closed in both directions this hour. There are reports the accident did involve police, and the SIU may be called in to investigate. Keep it 640 Toronto for the latest on these breaking stories. Another European cardinal has been chosen to lead the Catholic Church. This time, it's Joseph Ratzinger of Germany, who has chosen the papal name Pope Benedict the 16th. Now, Catholic leaders in Toronto were taken by surprise with the announcement of a new pope, and 640 Toronto's Daniela Bellotto has this in-depth report from St. Michael's Cathedral.
You here are shocked by who the cardinals have elected to be the new pontiff, but most are surprised the 115 voting cardinals reached a consensus so quickly.
And that they picked Cardinal Ratzinger meant they really wanted to continue the legacy of John Paul II.
That's Monsignor Samuel Bianco, the rector here at St. Michael's Cathedral. He says, however, the new pope will continue his predecessor's legacy much differently because Cardinal Ratzinger is a quiet, somewhat shy man. Outside St. Mike's Cathedral, Daniela Bellanca, 640 Toronto News.
640 Toronto Sports. We will carry Game 1 of the Baby Leafs' first-round AHL playoff series against Manitoba tonight at 7 o'clock. 640 Toronto weather. Early morning shower. Chance of thunderstorms. Today's high, 17. It's 16 degrees at the corner of Yonge and Dundas at 2:31. I'm Shauna Hunt with Toronto's in-depth news every 30 minutes and breaking news as it happens.
Hello, this is Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Have you ever been alone in your home and been afraid? If your answer is yes, you can be more comfortable with AlarmForce's two-way voice protection. With our Alarm Voice technology, AlarmForce can remotely verify if you are being threatened. No other company in Canada offers you Alarm Voice, which is standard in every system we install. That means if we hear you being threatened, we will inform the police, who can prioritize the response as a result of our instant verification.
It's easy to see why Alarm Force is Canada's favorite company for two-way voice home alarms. When you call Alarm Force, you'll be amazed to discover that this level of two-way voice home alarm is free. The only thing you'll ever have to pay is $25 a month to cover the monitoring. Call Alarm Force at 1-800-267-2001.
Attention, this is the Alarm Force Central Station. Identify your...
Call 1-800-267-2001.
Alarm Force is listed on the TSX.
Be in the know. Play the 640 Toronto Brain Game. Thursdays at 7 in pubs and restaurants throughout Toronto. It's one full hour of Toronto trivia that includes a 30-minute Leafs round. The NTN Brain Game. Thursdays at 7. To find an NTN location near you, go to 640toronto.com.
Unusual, unexplained, unstoppable. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
Blood of too many suns.
Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Take advantage and pick up the free electronic book. It'll be sent right out to you, which will allow you to download free books that are part of the Filament Book Club when you become a member of the Filament Book Club. This electronic book is like a small computer. You can take it anywhere with you, and you can download straight off your computer or books right over the telephone that they serve on the Filament Book Club. And again, to become a member of the Filament Book Club, go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Right at the bottom of the page, you'll see Filament Book Club, or this website, F-I-L-A-M-E-N-T, filamentbookclub.com, or call this toll-free number, 1-888-95 ebook. That's 1-888-95-ebook.
Holy cow, Roy! We sold over 100 used cars last month.
Ontario Chrysler owner Barry Gray just heard about his used car manager's sales figures.
I guess having millions of dollars of used cars at 0% financing sure pays off.
Is it the low prices and 0% financing? See for yourself at Ontario Chrysler.
I got all makes and all models.
Ontario Chrysler, 5280 Dixie Road, south of the 401, just past the Auto Mall. Call 1-866-BUY-DODGE.
We will save you money.
You've heard us talk about Toronto's news 24-7. Every 30 minutes, 640 Toronto brings you the stories behind the headlines. Not enough? How about this? News on demand. Whenever you want it, whenever you need to know. Just click 640toronto.com and hear Toronto's most up-to-date news guaranteed. While you're there, sign into 640 Toronto Feedback and let us know what you think. Or go to the new 640 Toronto message boards and get into it with other insiders talking about the big issues in our city. Get news on demand when you need it. Then talk about it now. 640toronto.com. Your news, your views, your city. We're 640 Toronto. No more. Know the truth. This is Coast to Coast. Your city, your station. 640 Toronto.
John, is there anybody out there now that you could call a prophet, someone who's alive today?
Well, there are a number of case studies that I'm looking at. Of course, the issue of somebody calling themselves a prophet, there must be 50, 60,000 people around the world that are every year coming on calling themselves prophets, and probably five or six of those people really are making predictions. The process of finding out who's really a prophet and who isn't is logging down their predictions, and then with time seeing if those predictions are accurate. The vast majority of people who claim to be prophets, and some of them often write to me, they're unfortunately always giving me their prophecies after the fact, and which is sort of unfortunate because that doesn't really help me corroborate whether they're really prophets. Or they say they had a dream of something that happened in a certain way, and then it happened. And I go, well, that how am I to know if you just saw it that way and have a false memory or really saw it. But every once in a while you run into some real predictions. Actually, any person who's interested in prophecies can make themselves a guinea pig of this. Just write down your predictions and try to be specific, because what often happens is something very general happens, like somebody says, well, the economy is going to go bad. And the economy goes back and you go, wow, I'm a prophet. Now, if you make a statement like the economy is going to go bad, you make it in 1999, say it will happen in the second half of 2002.
Right. And how much the stock market will plummet, let's say.
But even I'd go as far as saying that even if you were able to get the part of the year, the financial quarter, that in 2-3 years in the future that really went for a nosedive, that's more like a prediction. If you can say how far it actually is going down, that's an amazing prediction. I mean, one of the things that I find so remarkable in just recent times about St. Malachi's prophecy is that John Paul II is the only person in that list of 112 popes that was born on an eclipse. And that is absolutely corroborated by any decent ephemeris, JPL or otherwise, will show you that he was born on, his birthday was on a total eclipse. Now, his motto is De Laboris Solis, from the sun's labor, from the sun's eclipse. When he died, I was thinking, well, we have an annular, a major annular eclipse. It's one of those where the moon is smaller than the sun. It makes a ring in the sky. It's a major eclipse, nonetheless, and it was going across the Pacific Ocean from New Zealand on the same day. In fact, almost to the same moment that his body was entombed in the St. Peter's Basilica. Now, I'm wondering, what is the Catholic Church or the pontificacy trying to say by this? Are they just accidentally on purpose, once again, doing something that's in sequence with prophecy? Or, you know, they could have had it on Thursday. They could have had it on Saturday. But why did they pick Friday for his entombment? The only day in that week, in fact, of the two eclipses that happen in a year, there it is. So the man who's born in an eclipse is entombed in an eclipse. It's quite a significant statement and problem.
Good point. Good.
Now the other thing is, why is it that, I think it's the Apostolic Palace that has the hall that has the oval portraits of all the popes, all the 265 popes since St. Peter, and why is it there are only two ovals empty left? Now now there'll be only one oval left after this Pope Benedict XVI has his portrait painted on it.
Maybe they ran out of room?
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be something as simple and mundane as that, but then why are they running out of room with only enough room for two more crypts in the special crypt where John Paul II was buried next to John the 23rd? There's only two empty spots left. Oh, why are all these twos coming up? It could be a coincidence, but it gets a little beyond a coincidence when it's so many things coming together. And the same twos. You know, the eclipse, the fact that Benedict has called himself Benedict and described his name as a peacemaker and conciliator, when for decades that's exactly what interpreters of Malachi have thought Gloria Olivae would be. Gloria of the Olives would be that. I mean, I can read a statement that was given by the monk of Padua, who believed actually that this pope would be named Leo the 14th. He was wrong about that. But he said that he would take humanity towards the Christian faith, and he'd be a great messenger of peace and the glory of the olive tree of the Lord. That was back in the 19th century. He was making those statements. So why would the church want to promote? You'd think they'd want to refute it if they were against it or poo-poo it or give another name, but here is this man, the new pope. And we're only just beginning to see the parallels. Wait another week or two when we see his coat of arms and some of the other things he says. He seems to be on the road of becoming the great peacemaker that Malachi foresaw, or he will become the pope of the Mount of Olives apocalyptic prophecy.
Good point. To the phones, we'll wrap it up by going to... the rest of the callers. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hey, good evening. This is Matt from New York. And I just want to preface saying that, you know, I believe in prophecy and the end of times. I'm a Christian. But just dealing with the Malachi predictions, I just wanted to ask a question about the likelihood of one possibility, and one author called, like, History Prophesized or Prophecy Historicized, being that these prophecies were made public in 1590. That was a time of, you know, great upheaval, the Renaissance, the Protestant's birth, Henry VIII, Borgia, Popes, Medici's. And from then until 1978, for 450-something years, every pope was Italian. Now, is it possible that a secret order or a powerful organization within the Vatican at that time saw how successful millennialism and the end of times madness was at the 10th century and decided to basically play out events and create a list that would manipulate kind of the collective consciousness of people and kind of like a clock, a countdown
Good
until
question.
Today?
Good question. What do you think of that theory,
well,
John?
It is a common logic that's applied to a whole lot of factors that if there had been such a group that they couldn't really control. Factors from, for instance, what do the Mongols think when all this is going on? What do the other groups think? Yes, the Renaissance was happening, but there are other factors involved that any group, no matter how powerful they may be, whether they're the Ashoka Nine of the East or Opus Dei or some other groups in the West, this whole idea that everything has got this huge shadow, something or other, controlling it and manipulating it, to some degree, definitely there are forces and groups and esoteric and occult groups, East, West, Native, and otherwise, that are trying to influence the future. And in future books, I will talk more at length about these, some of these groups that I've even had some exposure to. If they were all so powerful, they wouldn't need to do these things. They wouldn't have to try to convince people one way or another. And yet, as I said earlier, there are certain ideas that we collectively adopt, whether true or not, and it's just very, very hard to shake us out of those ideas. For instance, the idea that the Book of Revelations is about our future. If you believe it enough, if you're hypnotized enough to believe it, you might actually create many of the elements of that future, even though that prophecy may have never been intended for our times. It's just as hard for a person to shake Americans out of the idea that the Japanese surrendered because of the atomic bomb. It's, you know, the thing that appeals to any group, if it has a collective appeal, either it appeals to their collective fears or their collective illusion about themselves. It is almost impossible to break people out of that hypnotism. So, I mean, the greater secret societies, if you will, that are really influencing us are not so much societies, but these urban myths or perceptions that we adopt collectively, and then they live beyond us. They live, and we keep impregnating our new generations with the same ideas. That's what's difficult to break. I'll give you one that's one of the most difficult to break, the law of assumption, the assumption that we are human beings yet, the assumption that we have a civilization, the assumption that enlightenment has happened here yet to some people or to some religions. Maybe those are just illusions. Maybe if we saw them as illusions, we would really start to see a humanity, really start to see a civilization. Certainly there are prophecies that say that the stresses that we're about to enter in the 21st century are going to shatter a lot of these really fundamental and long-lasting illusions. And that will be a good thing, because then we'll have to see things as they are and build from there.
From here on in, though, John, with this Pope's name, this Pope Benedict XVI, this whole thing is going to be fascinating. It's going to be an interesting ride.
Oh, yes. I mean, he's definitely, whether the prophecies have foreseen it or are perpetuating it, the stresses that are being put on the world, he is the Pope of the warnings, of the Catholic warnings and the Catholic chastisement. It is coming. He will have to be a peacemaker shepherd in and do the best he can to help people in this time. The other thing that we haven't talked about is the strong implication of the olive symbol for Israel. That it is one of the aspects of Israel. So it may very well be that this pope may find himself, even though he initially in his own statements is not so ecumenical as John Paul II, has even criticized John Paul II for getting too close to Protestant groups and getting too close to Jewish groups and other groups. He may find himself out of the flows of history having to be the peacemaker between Arabs and Israelis in the Middle East in the near future.
First time caller line, you're up with John Hogue on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead. And where are you calling from, Chris?
Denver, Colorado.
All right, go ahead, sir.
John Hogue mentioned earlier something about World War III and that we were in it right now, I believe. I was wondering if he could elaborate a little bit on that as far as, you know, if he was referring to the war in Iraq or an arms race or what exactly he was.
Okay, John, I think you were making reference to this pope and whether he would be able to avoid that or not, but go ahead.
Yes, there are a number of predictions. One of the more famous ones are from Nostradamus that seem to date the time of the last great war as a 27-year conflict that's basically rooted in ambush and subterfuge, which is and related to eastern kings, which are soon annihilated and terrified by the great Aquiloneros, the great eagle powers of the north. It's intriguing that Russia, until it stopped being communist, did not have an eagle as its symbol. America has an eagle as its symbol. Now Russia has the double-headed eagle as its symbol. This would be very important in Nostradamus. So this great alliance is of Russia and America that will stamp out three eastern kings in a triumvirate of terror, of ambush and subterfuge, secretly aligned. Sounds a lot like the axis of evil to me. And that these eastern kings, and his use of eastern implies near and far, but more near eastern than far, but perhaps Korea is part of that. What that would mean, my take on this prophecy from the epistles of Nostradamus, if prophetic letters, is correct, and that these three kings are soon annihilated, stamped out. But actually, the danger of war is worsened because these friends, these great northern powers, within 3 to 13 years later, go to war with each other. And the victor is on Amerish soil. It's one of his cryptic words for America, like Amorica, Amerish,
mm-hmm.
Hesperia, meaning the land of the setting western star. There are times in his writings where he talks about the war lasting 27 years, the Third Antichrist War, he calls last 27 years. And it's a war where the Third Antichrist is actually one of the first to fall in the war, and it is his death that triggers the 25 to 27 years of warfare. And the indications in the prophecies, and you can look at them in detail in my books like Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies, or Nostradamus, The New Millennium, where it's a war that's fought over resources more than religion and politics. It's fought over water more than and food more than which gods you worship. It's a war where people who have made their peace, like Arabs and Israelis, if they don't address the drying out of rivers and water systems in the region in another 20 years, will go to war anyway over water, not over Islam.
As a matter of fact, there was a CIA report just about a year ago, John, that said exactly that some of the next wars will be fought over these natural resources.
Climate wars, they called it.
Yep.
It's interesting because exactly 10 years before that, I produced a book called The Millennium Book of Prophecy, where I called the web of Armageddon. Armageddon's one web strand is by water, by food, by this or by that. And I was amazed to see that the Pentagon 10 years later writes a report that's almost verbatim what I said 10 years before. I'm a little sad about that. I wish they had put that report out 10 years before that, because then we would have to look at it. But it's quite significant because the Pentagon is not exactly a tree-hugging, water-preserving group. And for them to see the strategic importance of the dwindling of resources is a significant thing.
Did you see that story where part of a glacier has fallen off in Antarctica? It's as big as a city. It's a chunk of the continent, they said, has fallen off.
Well, it's as big as Rhode Island.
After a collision. It's amazing. We might have time for one more call. International line, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto, George. I'm going to be very, very quick because I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, thank you.
I was laughing when I was listening to the description of some of the other Benedict popes, because there's been quite a few people I've met so far in my 51 years that I've figuratively had to whack them over the side of the head with a 2x4 just to get their attention as well. Predictions of St. Malachi with regards to this being the dark pope or the black pope, I'm wondering whether or not, considering that Hitler in the 20th century was a really, really black, black era for us as humans, whether or not, regardless of Gitzinger's forced participation in the Hitler Youth, that may be the reference.
Well, actually, I don't think it is, and because also the Benedictines, who used to wear white undyed cloth in the earlier times, are better known for their hooded outfits that are black. So if he is using the allusion to Benedictine, one could stretch that to mean the black pope, although more commonly the black pope is a Jesuit. That's why Cardinal Martini, if he had been elected, who was the same age, about 2 months older than Ratzinger, if he had been elected pope, then we'd really be having a debate about, is this finally the black pope of the Jesuits, which has never been done before. Just like Peter has never elected a new Peter, a man with the name Peter, it's also thought that you can't have another a Jesuit as pope.
Fascinating times to be alive, John Hogue.
Yes, they are indeed.
Thank you for spending the extra hour with us, John. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
John Hogue, The Prophecies of Nostradamus and St. Malachi. I'll be back in a moment with our guest, Jordan Maxwell. Get ready on Coast to Coast AM.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.
Drives me crazy, you know.
I like going to movies, so we have a lot in common. We could even be friends.
Give me a chance. Except for one thing. You might not want to be my friend because of the way I look. Right now, I'm on the radio, and you don't know if I'm tall, short, white, Asian, African. You don't know my religion, or even if I have one. And you don't know how long I've lived in Canada.
Some people look at me and think I wasn't born here. There's one thing I want you to know about me. I am proud to be a Canadian.
I live in Canada because it's the greatest country in the world. I'm a good Canadian, and I work hard to make a good life for my family. And I think that's more important than what I look like, don't you?
Just a thought. From your friends at 640 Toronto.
Mike Stafford.
You know what's fun about the show? When we get some politician trying to defend ridiculous decisions, they get stuck for an answer, and I hear the old, well, Mike, that's really something we should take a look at for Toronto. Or if they avoid the question, like, well, Mike, that's a good question, but let's talk about broadening the tax base. Do they really think we're that stupid? God, I love this show. Get answers, Toronto. The Stafford Show, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto.
No more. Know the truth. This is Coast to Coast, your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
How much information is too much? There's a lot out there. But when it comes to Toronto information that will affect you and your family, can you really have too much? At 640 Toronto News, we think headlines are a waste of your time. We think you're a little smarter than that. Smart enough to gather all the Toronto news and information you need that matters. Get the stories behind Toronto's headlines and get it from the only station that is Toronto. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto.
A passion for Toronto. The John Oakley Show, weekday mornings 5:30 to 10. Your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
From the 640 Toronto 24-hour news center, here's what Toronto is talking about.
A body discovered near the Sky Dome, and Toronto Catholics celebrate the new Pope. It's 16 degrees at 3 o'clock. Some thunderstorms on the way. Good morning. I'm Shauna Hunt. Toronto police are investigating what looks like Toronto's 17th homicide of the year. The body of a man was discovered just outside of the Steam Whistle Brewery near the Sky Dome just before midnight. Cops tell 640 Toronto there are obvious signs of trauma, and homicide has been called in to investigate. Now, the victim has yet to be identified, and there's no word yet on suspects. Toronto cops also on scene of a very serious accident on Bathurst. Now, Bathurst at Wilson is closed in both directions this hour. There are reports the accident involved police, and the SIU may be called in to investigate. Keep it 640 Toronto for the latest on these developing stories. It's a day of celebration for the German Catholic community in Toronto. One of their own, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, has been chosen as the new Pope. Now, Father Dan Donovan is a professor of theology at the University of Toronto, and he says he doesn't expect the new Pope to do much within the church or be around for that long.
So to some degree, he's a transitional pope. They're not expecting him to do any dramatic new thing.
The new pontiff is a staunch defender of church doctrine who agrees with the late John Paul on issues such as homosexuality and birth control. 640 Toronto Sports, Rory Halladay had his third win of the season after going eight strong innings in Toronto's 4-3 win over the Boston Red Sox last night. And 640 Toronto's got live play-by-play tonight as the Baby Leafs compete in their last ever AHL playoffs before coming to Toronto. They face Manitoba tonight at 7. 640 Toronto weather, a smog advisory remains in effect with early morning showers, a chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Today's high, 17. It's 16 degrees at the corner of Yonge and Dundas at 301. I'm Shauna Hunt with Toronto's in-depth news every 30 minutes and breaking news as it happens.
It's a collection of legal power that would cost $500 or more if done through a lawyer. Now, everything you need for total estate planning is yours in the new Master Estate Kit. First, you'll receive a legal will kit with simple instructions that lets you complete it in an hour or so. Second, a living will kit that guarantees your wishes are followed in case of a terminal injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that lets you name someone else to make financial or health decisions for you. And finally, a bonus estate planning guide, one that shows you how to update a will, avoid probate, save on capital gains tax, and more. The Master Estate Kit, an $80 value, yours for just $39.95 if you order now. Have a charge card handy and call 1-800-221-0621 to order your Master Estate Kit. Only $39.95 plus shipping. Your satisfaction is fully guaranteed. Call 800-221-0621 now. That's 800-221-0621.
Four division titles, seven straight NLL playoff appearances, four league championships. Now Doyle, Manning, Watson, and Moore put a record-setting season on the line in a drive for five. Toronto Rush, playoff lacrosse, solid tradition.
Playoff lacrosse, don't miss the NLL East Division Final, Friday, April 29th, 7:30, Air Canada Center. Yes, good seats still available at Ticketmaster.ca. Toronto, rock lacrosse, rock solid.
Kodiak Plus Iseco stores are specialists in both safety and family footwear.
Kodiak Plus Iseco stores have both workwear and outdoor casual wear for the whole family.
Footwear.
Clothing.
Want to go?
Fight, Jeffy? I squash you like a bug.
Ooh, nice one, Billy.
Hey, that's my line.
We're like Kodiak Plus Iseco. Work hard, play hard.
Nice one, Jeffy.
Kodiak Plus Iseco. Footwear and clothing as tough as the pros. Certainly tougher than these guys. Visit the Kodiak Plus Iseco Superstores in Heartland Mall, Mississauga, or Green Lane Center, Newmarket.
Stuck with a lease you don't want? Ontario Chrysler's Barry Gray has the answer.
I don't care whose lease you drive. We'll get you out of it and into a new car right now.
If you're currently leasing any make, any model, come to Ontario Chrysler.
Why drive something you hate when we'll put you into something you love to drive?
Ontario Chrysler, 5280 Dixie Road, south of the 401, just past the Auto Mall. Call 1-866-BUY-JEEP.
We will save you money.
Ontario Chrysler, the big store.
As a member of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, 640 Toronto is committed to the highest standards of broadcasting. We believe in being accountable to you, the listener, in our information and entertainment programming. If you have a comment to make about our programming, write to us. We'll respond to your letter and send you information on the council and its codes. A message from the Canadian Association of Broadcasters and 640 Toronto.
The other guys give you the same news and traffic over and over. Now, while they do that, we'll give you the stories behind Toronto's headlines. And there's more coming up. This is 640 Toronto.
Conspiracies, confusion, contradictions. Ask the questions. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, he deals with ancient mysteries, secret societies. His name is Jordan Maxwell, and he will be our guest in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
You're owed money. Can-Do Credit Consulting will get it for you anywhere in the world. Courts take too long. Collection agencies have only a 10% success rate. You need someone who takes a personal interest. Here's Doug Cannon.
It's all about using creative solutions to retrieve your money. It's not about being tough. It's about being resourceful. And at Can-Do, we keep going and going and going.
Thousands of businesses use Can-Do, as featured in the Toronto Star. Details at CanDoCreditConsulting.com.
Call me direct at 416-254-1000.
416-254-1000.
More than 5,700 phone calls, 474 arrests, $31 million in illegal drugs confiscated, and over $2.5 million in stolen property recovered. And that's just last year's results. Not bad for a nonprofit group of volunteers. 640 Toronto with Scotiabank, Home Depot, and Epson presents Safe City, the Toronto Crime Stoppers Gala, Wednesday, May 18th at the Liberty Grand Exhibition Place. A special evening to support the Toronto Crime Stoppers program. Join 640 Toronto's John Oakley and Christy Blanchford of the Globe and Mail for an evening of gourmet dining, silent auctions, prize raffles, and demonstrations for the Toronto Police Service Tactical Canine and Forensic Teams. For ticket information, go to 640toronto.com. Safe City, the Toronto Crime Stoppers Gala, Wednesday, May 18th with 640 Toronto. Your city, your station.
untold will unfold. This is Coast to Coast, your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
Jordan Maxwell is a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of the occult and religious philosophy. He served for 3.5 years as the religion editor of Truth Seeker magazine, America's oldest free thought journal. His work on the subject of secret societies, both ancient and modern, and their symbols, has fascinated audiences around the world for decades, including me, because I saw Jordan speak once about a year ago in San Jose. He has conducted dozens of seminars, hosted his own radio talk shows, appeared on more than 600 radio shows, and written, produced, and appeared in numerous television shows and documentaries. Much of his work is devoted to understanding ancient religions and their pervasive influence on the world affairs today. Our guest on Coast to Coast, Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, how are you?
Well, very good, George. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. You know, we, under very strange circumstances, by the way, we lost someone, I guess, this week, Jim Arthur.
Yes, a very dear friend of mine, and I'm aware of some of the circumstances, but I don't think I really care to talk any more about the subject than what everyone already knows. He was found hanging in his jail cell, I guess it was, and under suspicious circumstances. So, but whatever.
Yeah.
We move on.
We move on. We move on indeed.
Well, I do think it's interesting, though, and I'm sure you have picked up on it, that we seem to be losing very valuable people who are
Gene Malov, John Mack. I mean, that's three that come to mind just right away.
And what about all the biologists?
Oh my God, 50 plus.
Yeah, I mean, what does that tell you? There's something going on here. What? You know,
there's a strange connection to a lot of things, Jordan.
I'm sure.
Well, on to other things, of course. Hey, your reaction, by the way, today with this Pope and all this talk of prophecy. And, of course, you've studied ancient religions and philosophy. What do you think of all this?
Well, and also I was born and raised a Catholic. And we were a very, very Catholic family in my hometown. And then my mother's aunt and uncle were very important Catholics and always going to Rome. And so we were raised Catholic. And so I would never condemn my own mother and my own father and my own family. But I'm telling you, there's something else going on here that people don't know. I'm sorry to see the Pope die, but there's a lot more going on at the Vatican than meets the eye, and this new Pope was no surprise to me. It doesn't surprise me at all. But anyway, I mean, I don't want to our first telephone calls to be Catholic.
We don't want to do that at all. Not that you are.
No, but if you mention anything anymore, people quickly want to put you in a box and say, oh, okay, I know who he is. But, you know, I started questioning theology and religion at a very early age. When I was, give you an example, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I was being a little kid confirmation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fourth grade.
Yeah, whatever it was. And so we were told, I was going to Catholic school, and then we were told that tonight, after the bishop is through with the ceremonies, that he might possibly ask if any of the children, now that they are confirmed Catholics, if any of the children might have a question. And the nuns told us, do not ask any questions, period. You just sit quiet. So that night, after the events, after the ceremonies were over, sure enough, the bishop did say, well, if there are any questions, I will try and answer them. I stood up and said, yeah, I have a question. I said, my father works with torches. He's a welder. And I said, if there was an angel standing next to me, could I take a torch and burn him? Would it hurt him if I hit him with the torch? And the bishop, there was all quiet in the church. It was a huge church, and everything was quiet. And the bishop said, "Well, I don't understand what you're saying." I said, "Simple. If I have a torch and an angel appears, could I hurt him by burning him?" And he said, "Well, of course not." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, I mean, fire is a physical thing. You need paper or wood or something to burn. You can't burn an angel." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, angels are spirits. You can't burn a spirit." And I said, well, then why am I concerned about going to hell when my spirit will burn if you can't burn a spirit? And so the priest looked at me and gave me the motion, sit down and shut up. And so from that day forward, I began to suspect there's more to life and that God is too big for one religion.
And you continue to stand up, and nobody's been able to keep you quiet, Jordan Maxwell.
Oh, I just love wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and I'm fascinated with the concept of the divine presence in the universe, because I am totally, in that way, a believer. I am totally committed to the idea that we are being guided by a higher divine presence in the universe that men have called God. I don't have any problem with that spiritual concept at all. I highly respect the atheist and the humanist and all of the other people who have different points of view. I highly respect all of that. But for myself, I am totally convinced that there is a spirit world all around us.
There's no doubt about that. I had the luxury of meeting you last year, Jordan, face-to-face at a conference in San Jose when they called you up and gave you an achievement award, a lifetime achievement award for your work. And I have been to a lot of different kinds of events, Emmy events, conferences, programs. I have never witnessed more admiration for one person in all my life from the people who were there to watch you get that award.
Yeah, and as you know, it was very emotional for me, because I also was rather taken back at the outpouring of genuine love and the things that were said, and I didn't know how to take it. You know, I was just thinking I'd go up and get an award and thank you, but when I began to see, and I have to tell you, I was also rather nervous. I see you and Tom Danheiser sitting there, and I'm thinking, wow, man, this is trippy stuff for me. Here I've got George Norrie here and Tom Danheiser. And then, of course, when, who was it, Escamilla?
Jose
yeah. Escamilla. When he yelled out in the audience, you're the man, remember?
Yep.
Oh, that really, it was a wonderful night. And it did, as I said that night, and I'll say it again, it was a wonderful thing as far as I'm concerned, because I have been doing what I'm doing for so many years, and I have begun to feel that, you know, I'm just doing this for myself. Nobody else is listening. But it takes times like that when you appreciate that there are people who are hearing you and people who do care about you.
Yeah, that was the night I met Hilly Rose as well, and invited him back to fill in for me every once in a while on Coast to Coast. So
it was
a great reunion there. A good man.
Very good man.
You learn a lot from your peers, and he's another one of them. Yeah, you know, between him and Art Bell, all you got to do is sit back and take notes, and you don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, Abraham Lincoln once it was quoted as saying, to be truly wise is to choose one's company and listen.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And a lot of people are starting to do that, of course, with you, because they have seen what you did. You know, and though there's a lot of things I want to talk with you about tonight, Jordan, I want to talk with you about secret societies for a while. This is something that's been on my mind for a long time. Whoever they may be, this group that's out there trying to control this planet. And
you're doing a good job, too.
Well, they sure are. And, you know, yes, it's money, and I sometimes wonder, how much money do you have to make to be happy? I mean, if you've got a zillion dollars, why do you need a zillion more? What do they want, Jordan? What do
there might be another guy. There might be another guy who's got a zillion, so you got to buy him out, you know. I don't know. It's lunacy as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, it's the same story over and over again. We never learn from, who was it, Santayana, who said that if you are not going to learn from history, you're going to make the same mistakes again. And I'm just amazed at how much, the thing that bothers me more than anything is how much we people, especially in this country, we just are not knowledgeable. We don't know. We don't understand how things work. And what the words mean and what the symbols mean. I mean, in the big cities, when you see gangs spray painting their graffiti on a wall, people driving by, adults driving by, have no idea. It's just a disgrace, but it's just graffiti. But no, it's not just graffiti. There's a message there. And if you know how to read those messages, if you know how to read those symbols, that can be deadly. It can be very, very deadly if you don't know what you're doing. If you go to China and you don't understand the language, then don't go driving until you understand the symbols, because symbols and words are how we communicate. And if you don't know how to read the symbols and the words of the secret societies throughout the world, you're never going to figure out what the name of the tune is and how this thing is coming down, how we are being played for fools, who is printing our money, where is it going, who is really in control. It is an extraordinary story of betrayal of the human family to keep us ignorant.
And it's been going on for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's I'm frightened because I pretty much have decided for myself where we're going as a country and ultimately the world, and it's frightening to me. I'm 65 years old now, and I now look back on the past 45 years of traveling around the country, if not around the world, to talk to people who are involved in the research of secret societies, occult orders, cults, general mysticism in government. And the more I began to look and see it's what is called pattern recognition. When you begin to see the same symbols and emblems and words, it becomes frightening. Because it's all there in front of you. You just don't know what you're looking at.
Are these people, Jordan, just whacked out? Are they crazy?
No, I believe that they are highly religious. They are profoundly spiritual and highly religious. Even the leaders of the Communist Party, the communism as a philosophy was an extremely religious concept. Nazism, and that's one of my favorite subjects. Nazism was a profoundly important religious concept. And if you don't understand Nazism's religious implications, then you're never going to figure out what's going on the world today, and the wars that are going on around the world, the racism, the banking. I mean, it's all a very, very big story, and I need about 8 hours to sit down and start, because you can't do justice to this subject, obviously, because it's been going on for thousands of years, and you can't, you know, capsule it all into a few words. But basically, I would say if you really are interested, and there's a lot of people who are now becoming more interested in the secret societies, and I've been doing it since 1960.
Would you say that's your focus, your main focus, secret societies, in your work and research now?
I think, well, not now. It has been. But now, no. I'm actually not even talking much about secret societies anymore because I was doing that the day John Kennedy was assassinated. I was on my way downtown Los Angeles in 1963. I was on my way downtown Los Angeles to deliver a small group a lecture on the secret societies behind world governments and religion, and the and then I heard that Kennedy had been assassinated. So we're talking about over 40 years ago that I was talking about this. And then in 1966, Anthony Hilda came out with a series of records by Myron Fagan on Illuminati. I don't know if you are aware of that set of records or tapes. I'll make you a set. I'll make you a copy.
Okay, please, Jordan, yeah.
But that was back in 1966 that a very, very powerful and brilliant man named Myron Fagan came out with a fascinating three-hour record set, which I said Anthony Hilda produced it, on the subject of secret societies and the Illuminati. Now, that was the first time that the word Illuminati had ever been used in public. And I know because I was out researching and beating the bushes since 59, and I'd never heard of it.
And you didn't have the Internet then.
No. Now, of course, it's everywhere. When I first heard the records of Myron Fagan talking about Illuminati, I got excited because many of the things he was saying now fit what I was into already, which was the general, at that time in the 60s, I was very interested in the Roman fascism and its implications in world religion. And especially as Roman fascism is used in the Nazi movement. And so I was really into that kind of thing. And then I began listening to the records, and I thought, wow, man, here's what I'm looking for. Well, since that was in 1966, as I said, in early 67, I began talking around Los Angeles, Hollywood. I did a lot of lectures at motion picture studios, and people who knew me, you know, would invite me to come.
Sure.
And speak at the, you know, little private things over at the studio or over at that studio, and this producer called me and said, would you come over and, you know, we'll have dinner, and I just want you to come to the studio. We'll tell security you're coming. And I would go and sit in these major studios and talk with people behind the scenes about Illuminati, secret societies, etc. And I just love the work. I love knowing. I love researching and studying it, and people were interested. I never charged anybody anything, but I just enjoyed doing what I do.
Did people believe you, Jordan, when you would talk about these secret societies?
Yes, actually, that's interesting. Yes, even back then, you know, because they saw the seriousness of the way I took it. And, of course, the things which I was showing them, the pictures, the documents, the encyclopedia pictures and dictionary definitions, and I would lay it all out for about 3 hours. Back in 63, I was laying out 3- and 4-hour presentations on the use of words by the secret societies and how they use their terms and words and symbols and coats of arms and heraldry and flags.
Why is that all so important to them, Jordan?
Well, it's a communication. It's a worldwide communication. You know, all professions, neurosurgeons, auto mechanics, any and all professions of the world, including we radio talk show hosts, we have our own vernacular and our own lingo and our own terms that we understand if you're in the business. And so all professional groups have their own tongue, their own language. And they know what they're saying, and nobody, and, you know, children even do it. Kids can sit right in front of their parents in the front room talking to another kid on the phone and using the slang of the modern day, the parents have no idea in the world what the kids are actually saying with their slang. And so that's the same thing. Well, yeah, if I went to a neurosurgeon convention, I'd be totally lost. I don't know what they're talking about. They all are excited about some new discovery, and I don't even know what they're talking about.
Somehow I think you'd be able to figure it out, Jordan.
Well, so I've been around a long time. but then when you begin to look at, wait a minute, Adolf Hitler kept saying this, and that, and Stalin said the same thing. And now I'm looking at Benito Mussolini, and he's using the same identical symbols, using the same identical words. And now something called pattern recognition begins to take place.
Well, tell me when we come back, Jordan, if you're seeing that pattern recognition today. And also, I want to talk about this group, the Illuminati. I mean, is it true? Is there going to be worldwide population control? And how are they going to do it? And there's much more. He's a scholar and a gentleman, Jordan Maxwell. His website, jordanmaxwell.com. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
From the 640 Toronto 24-Hour News Center, here's what Toronto is talking about.
Toronto cops investigate what looks like the city's 17th murder of the year, and Toronto Catholics welcome their new pope. It's 16 degrees at 3:30. Some thunderstorms on the way. Good morning, I'm Shauna Hunt. Toronto Homicide are now investigating after a body was discovered down by the Sky Dome. Police tell 640 Toronto the body of a man was found outside the Steam Whistle Brewery just before midnight. The cops are on scene investigating and say they do suspect foul play. There's no ID on the body yet or information on suspects. Toronto police are also on scene of a very serious accident on Bathurst. Now, Bathurst at Wilson is closed in both directions. There are reports the accident involved police, and the SIU may be called in to investigate. Keep us 640 Toronto for the latest on these developing stories. Toronto's German Catholic community is celebrating the announcement of a new German Pope, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Father Dan Donovan is a professor of theology at the University of Toronto. He says there was a lot of influence to choose a new Pope who was much like John Paul II.
Well, this man was certainly the man in the Vatican who was closest to John Paul II. And John Paul II admired this man enormously, especially in regard to his theological background.
Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger was selected by the Cardinals and has taken the name Pope Benedict XVI. 640 Toronto Sports, Roy Halladay pitched eight strong innings, and Corey Koski drove home the winning run in the ninth as Toronto down Boston 4-3. Last night, the Jays are now 9-6. The NHL and Players Association met for about 6 hours yesterday. The NHL Board of Governors is scheduled to meet later today. And 640 Toronto will carry game one of the Baby Leafs' first round AHL playoff series against Manitoba tonight at 7. 640 Toronto weather, some thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 17. It's 16 degrees at the corner of Yonge and Dundas at 3:31. I'm Shauna Hunt with Toronto's in-depth news every 30 minutes and breaking news as it happens.
G&G Electronics has Canada's favorite television, the Sony Grand Vega. And get this, a new lower price. Grand Vega is the number one Canadian seller because of the picture. Big screen images that make the Grand Vega an obvious decision. Really, all you have to do is go to G&G and see for yourself. Of course, with the new lower price, that someday promise you made to yourself is here today. Go visit Gary and the gang at G&G. Best price. First time, every time. Kingston Road and Morningside. Online at ggelectronics.com.
You're weaving, dodging, winding, twisting. You're not really wasting. You're just slightly buzzed. It's light. There's not many cars on the road. You're not hurting anyone. You'll make it home, and no one will be the wiser. Or you could get caught by a ride, pay a hefty fine, and have your license suspended. Or if you're really unlucky, you could kill someone. Be responsible. Don't drive when you're loaded.
Catch up on Toronto, The Stafford Show, weekdays 2 to 6. Your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
Time to get real answers. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
children grow so late, and the morning lasted all day. And threw it up the window pane, like Sinatra in a younger day, pushing the town away.
Coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, I could just sit back for hours and talk with Jordan Maxwell about everything. And that's what we're going to do. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines next hour to give you an opportunity to. He truly is one remarkable human being.
For a long time, I've been stressed about my social phobia problem.
Stress, anxiety, shyness, lack of confidence, all can be dealt with effectively through hypnosis. Listen to what Karen said.
I'm more calm around people, stopped drinking excessively, and started eating a balanced diet. I really enjoy the company of others more.
Hypnosis works. For a free consultation, call Positive Changes Hypnosis, 416-488-4724.
Sometimes I really have to pinch myself when thinking of the new me and my positive progressive changes.
It works. Call 416-488-4724.
John Oakley.
I don't know what it is about the people who listen to our show, but man, they know some stuff. And what's better, they defy the stereotyped apathy in Toronto. You know, I've always believed in business and sports, whatever. It's passion that separates good from great. And Toronto's a great city because we've got people who give a damn. And I talk to them every morning.
Hear Toronto's news and then hear what Oakley thinks. The John Oakley Show, weekday mornings 5:30 to 10. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto.
Why aren't these stories being told? Find out now on Coast to Coast, your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
very important. We are word control creatures. Words cause you to have emotions. They cause you to get in trouble.
Absolutely.
So, you know, words are very important. Let me give you an example of how the masters behind the world throne have manipulated us with words.
Okay.
A classic example is right here in America. Did you know that by law, according to maritime admiralty law, you cannot pay a bill in America?
I did not know that. Nobody told me that. I pay them all the time.
Well, in point of fact, you're not paying a bill. You are discharging a debt. Let me give you an example.
All right.
If I hire you to paint my car and you say I'm going to charge you $100, I said, all right. When you are through with the job, you come to me, you give me a bill. Correct? I mean, if you buy a pair of shoes, you're going to get a bill.
Invoice, whatever, yeah.
Of course. I want to see what it is you did and how much it cost you and what am I paying you. So write it out on a bill. Now, when you hand me the bill for $100, I look at it and I say, okay, looks good. I reach into my pocket and I pull out a $100 bill.
Bill.
And I give you a bill.
Yeah.
So what have I done? Well, look it. Now you owe me $100. I gave you a bill, and of course you gave me a bill, so why don't we just call it even?
You cancel it out.
That's it. So that's all our money is a discharging of debt. And it's just like walking across the carpet and building up electricity in you, and then you touch a piece of metal and it discharges. That's why when you're in the military, you get discharged. And since you are a bioelectrical unit and you're over 90% water, you are, by law, referred to as a maritime admiralty product. You are a product of water. Well, you are.
That's true. All right.
And consequently, if you... electrical unit, and therefore if you get in trouble financially, you are in what we call hot. This. In the Old Testament, both in the book of Isaiah and once in the book of Psalms, the Messiah, not Jesus, but Messiah, in the Old Testament is referred to in a Hebrew word called, that is translated, chief cornerstone. And so consequently, twice in the Old Testament, the Messiah is referred to as a chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Then twice in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone. Well, the word in the Aramaic and Greek and in the Hebrew all means the same thing. It means a triangle point on top of a pyramid. That's what the Bible symbol of the Messiah is. A triangle perched on top of a pyramid in Hebrew is called chief cornerstone.
And that's what is on
and
our
money. And that's
what
it means. That's what it means on your money. That is the symbol of the Messiah of the Old Testament and the coming of God's Son to rule the world and God's kingdom. And, wow, man.
And they just leak it in like that, and nobody really knows it.
Nobody even suspects. And I did a two-hour PowerPoint presentation up in San Francisco on that one subject, 2 hours of documents. And, of course, it was laborious, and people got tired because I'm always being told, you'd be surprised how many times I'm told when I'm through with a presentation, well, you didn't bring this out, you didn't bring that out, you could have talked about this or that. And I said, no, look at, well, I got an hour, well, I got 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if this is all symbolism, Jordan, and nobody knows it, why'd they do it in the first place then?
Because it's an in-house thing.
Ah.
It's an in-house gesture.
It's for their own benefit.
Yes, yeah. It's an in-house communication. And the secret societies, both in Europe and around the world, know that that symbol on the back of the dollar bill, they know what it really means. They know that we don't, but they know what it actually means.
Do they communicate with each other through symbols?
Without a doubt. No doubts about that at all. They have certain emblems and symbols, and when the President of the United States speaks, he's not talking to you. He's talking to other world leaders who know who he is mm-hmm. and what he represents. So it's a wonderful world of illusion, words and terms. And we were talking about electricity at the break.
Yeah.
Electricity, that's fascinating. Did you know that the planet Saturn was called El in the ancient Phoenician system, which we call today that a whole area of Israel, Lebanon, was called Phoenicia, and it's called the land of Cana, but the people were Phoenicians. And in that ancient culture, they worshipped the planet Saturn. And consequently, Saturn in the old Phoenician system was called El, E-L. And consequently, if you still today worship the planet Saturn, you are called an elder, because you got elected through an election. Now you are one of the elites. And how did you get all of this? Well, you got the juice, the electricity, the very powers of the universe, El. El is the planet Saturn. They make movies about him. Saturn was referred to as the Lord of the Rings. Of course he's Lord of the Rings. And they're still making movies in Hollywood about Lord of the Rings.
And this symbolism stayed with us for thousands of years.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. The Greeks had it. The Romans had it. The British had it. And they gave it to us. And we're still running around using terms and words that haven't got the faintest idea in the world.
Well, you know, I mentioned it must have been 5 months ago. We were talking about plagues and disease on this program, Jordan. And I mentioned that, about the old phrase, dead ringer, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And I kept saying, I wonder where that came from. People started sending me fast blast messages that apparently, now you tell me if this is true, that when people would die during the bubonic plague period, they would attach like a little bell to them on the inside, maybe on their toe or something, and if they were alive.
That's right. If they were alive, they could move their feet and then.
And you hear the dead ringer.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, I've heard that same story. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. It makes sense to me.
Symbolism, again.
Yeah,
you know, you hear these things come through over the ages, and nobody really knows where these things came from.
Of course. As a matter of fact, you know, on this planet, there are only two things. There's earth and water, period. And consequently, there is only two kinds of law on the earth. There's the law of the land and the law of water. Most people have heard the term law of the land, and they have just assumed that's a phrase that's used to represent the laws governing a country. It's the law of the land.
Or your city or whatever.
Yeah. No, not at all. You're totally wrong. No, law of the land is a term used in maritime admiralty commerce. It is a very, very important word, law of the land, as opposed to law of the water, law of the sea.
Two distinctive laws, I guess.
Totally different laws. Now, law of the land goes back to what we call Latin civilian or civilis, civil law. Incidentally, the word civil goes back to the Iles. The Iles were the gods in the ancient world called Iles, and they lived up on the hill, H-I-L-L. And that's a whole story.
See, what fascinates me is the fact that these things are carried down over so many years.
Yeah, thousands of years, and we still use the same term. Do you know that Julius Caesar, the Caesars of Rome, do you know where their seat of power was in the Roman Empire? In Rome, the seat of power for the Caesars was called Capitol Hill. And they went up on the hill.
Yeah.
And consequently, well, what did they go up on the hill for? Well, they went up on the hill to officiate over the Senate. And this is why they always had a dome. Why churches and by government buildings in the capitals always have a dome.
That's
because it goes back to the word domus. And domus gives us our word to dominate, domineering, domesticate, Dominican, domus. The word has a meaning, and that's why you have a dome over the Vatican, which is the same dome you have over the U.S. Capitol, because the word capital simply means money. It's an extraordinary world of hidden words and terms and symbols, and I'm telling you, when you really have time to sit down, as we would love to do probably another program, and just sit down and look at all of the words that are used in law and government, and finance, and banks, and why do you have a bank? Where do you find a bank? Well, first of all, when you go to a court, you have the judge who rules from the bench. Do you know what the word bench means in Latin?
No.
The word bench is a bank.
Huh.
And so therefore, where do you find banks? Well, you find banks on both sides of a river. It's called a river bank. What does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency.
Uh-huh. Good point.
I'm telling you, there's a whole world of occult, hidden words and terms and symbols that have been built up for thousands of years that are being used around the world, and the people have no idea in the world what's going on.
Now, the fact that all these words are being used, somebody will say, okay, Jordan, so what? So I use these phrases, and I don't know what they mean, but I know what they mean to me. I know that when I talk about currency, I'm talking about my money, what I get from my job. How do you answer these people when they don't know these things?
I would simply say all of that is true and it's not important until you are subpoenaed to court and have to go into a federal court and are arrested 2 o'clock in the morning under arrest, and now you've been charged with a heinous crime or something, and now you're going to be tried before a court. Now you need to get some money and buy an attorney. Why? Because you don't know what the world is going on now. You better know what the words mean, and you better know what the charges are. And this is why when a policeman pulls you over, he writes you out a ticket, because now you go into court, and they're going to charge you, just like with a credit card, they're going to charge you. And consequently, if you don't know how the system works, you are a sitting duck. So this is why education and knowledge is so important. And I'll tell you something else, George. This kind of knowledge is not important until you get in trouble.
That's true.
Now, once you're in trouble and there's a war going on and people are dying, or your father is going to prison, or somebody has made a charge and there's a major capital crime, now you need to really sit down quickly with somebody who knows what they're doing and knows what the meaning of the words are, knows how the court works, and knows what to say. And this is why when you walk into a court, you have a fence and a gate. How many people have ever wondered what a fence and a gate is doing in a courtroom and what it means?
You know what? The more you think about it, you're right. You see on television this little wooden gate all the time, or court TV or something like that.
Why?
I don't know why. I mean, architecturally, I have no idea why they put it there.
Very good reason why they put it there. It divides maritime admiralty water, the law of the sea, from the law of land. This is why when you go out to the beach, you will have something called a sandbar. And the sandbar breaks the waves as it comes in and hits the shore so that the water doesn't come too far onto land. And so it's a sandbar. This is why the attorneys have to pass the bar. So when you put your hand on the gate, you are passing the bar, and you're not licensed to pass the bar. Because it is the sandbar that divides the law of water, which is the court, from the law of the land, which is the people.
And I always thought they did it because it just looked good.
Funny of... No, government does not do anything because it looks good.
No.
Understand this, that all of Europe, most of Europe, America, and Britannia, all these countries of the Western world are basically a Druidic country. We are basically a Druidic society. And unless you understand the word Druid and understand the theology and the religion of the Druids, you're never going to figure out anything about America and Europe and what's going on in the world today.
Does that include Freemasonry, or am I way off base here?
No, that's very, very germane to the whole subject. Yeah, we can get into that later.
All right, let's do that when we come back at the top of the hour. We'll also open up the phone lines with our very special guest tonight, Jordan Maxwell. His website, JordanMaxwell, Jordan Maxwell. I'm going to have to ask Jordan what those two words mean, Jordan Maxwell. But we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
Checked in with Mother today? Specifically, the forum of free thought called AskMotherMary.com, the freewheeling site by psychologist, mother, and independent thinker Dr. Mary. Join the free thought discussion on Mother Mary's message boards. Need advice? Mother knows best. Looking for a meeting place with no censorship? AskMotherMary.com. The truth, it's out there, and it's in AskMotherMary.com. AskMotherMary.com. She's got the answers. Free.
You're a car guy. You love your wheels more than sex.
Hello?
Well, okay, it's a close second. But hey, you take care of it, right? Not when you're letting the thing idle every day. Here's a fact for you. Idling kills your engine. 30 seconds, that's all the warming time you need. And sitting for more than 10 seconds? Well, that wastes more gas than restarting the engine.
What a wealth of knowledge.
Besides mucking up your car, idling is crap for everyone's favorite gal.
Mother Nature.
April is Earth Month, so clean up your act and turn off your car. For more info, hit earthday.ca.
Crouched in the corner of her kitchen for 3 hours now. She can hear TV channels changing in the other room. He's there. She can hear him. She'll stay where she is. Scared to move. Scared to leave.
Knowing more about Toronto.
About our city.
Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
Conspiracies, confusion, contradictions. Ask the questions. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
How
much information is too much? There's a lot out there. But when it comes to Toronto information that will affect you and your family, can you really have too much? At 640 Toronto News, we think headlines are a waste of your time. We think you're a little smarter than that. Smart enough to gather all the Toronto news and information you need that matters. Get the stories behind Toronto's headlines and get it from the only station that is Toronto. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto. From the 640 Toronto 24-hour news center, here's what Toronto is talking about.
Toronto cops may have another homicide on their hands, and Toronto Catholics welcome their new pope. It's 16 degrees at 4 o'clock. Some thunderstorms on the way. Good morning. I'm Shauna Hunt. Toronto homicide has been called in after the body of a man was discovered down by the Sky Dam. Now, the body was found just before midnight outside the Steam Whistle Brewery, and police say there are obvious signs of trauma. At this point, there's no word yet on suspects, and police have yet to identify the victim. Toronto police also on scene of a very serious accident on Bathurst. Now, Bathurst at Wilson is closed in both directions this hour. There are reports that the accident involved police, and the SIU may be called in to investigate. Keep us 640 Toronto for the latest on these developing stories. Another European cardinal has been chosen to lead the Catholic Church. This time it's Joseph Ratzinger of Germany, who has chosen the papal name Pope Benedict XVI. Now, Catholic leaders in Toronto were taken by surprise by the announcement. 640 Toronto's Daniela Bellotta has this in-depth report.
You here are shocked by who the cardinals have elected to be the new pontiff, but most are surprised the 115 voting cardinals reached a consensus so quickly.
And that they picked Cardinal Ratzinger meant they really wanted to continue the legacy of John Paul II.
That's Monsignor Samuel Bianco, the rector here at St. Michael's Cathedral. He says, however, the new pope will continue his predecessor's legacy much differently because Cardinal Ratzinger is a quiet, somewhat shy man. Outside St. Mike's Cathedral, Daniela Vallaca, 640 Toronto News.
640 Toronto Sports. We will carry game one of the Baby Leafs' first-round AHL playoff series against Manitoba tonight at 7. 640 Toronto weather. A smog advisory remains in effect. Early morning showers, a chance of afternoon thunderstorms, a high of 17. It's 16 degrees at the corner of Yonge and Dundas at 401. I'm Shauna Hunt with Toronto's in-depth news every 30 minutes and breaking news as it happens.
Did you know that 70% of Canadians don't have a legal will? Over the next decade, more than $700 billion will be held in Canadian banks from people who have died without making a will, leaving loved ones in financial and emotional distress. Young or old, married or single, widowed or divorced, everybody needs a legal will. Without a legal will, others may decide who gets your belongings and who will become the guardian of your children. The Canadian Legal Will Kit is easy to use. Just follow the instructions to make a will that's legal in all provinces. At $29.95, it saves you time, money, and legal costs. Writing your will is not about you. It's about the people you care about. It's about putting in place today what is needed to keep them safe tomorrow. You don't need a lawyer. The Canadian Legal Will Kit makes it easy and legal.
Call now, and the Canadian Legal Will Kit is on its way. 1-888-461-0744. Do it. 1-888-461-0744.
Four division titles, seven straight NLL playoff appearances, four league championships. Now Doyle, Manning, Watson, and Moore put a record-setting season on the line in a drive for five. Toronto Rush, playoff lacrosse, solid tradition.
Playoff lacrosse, don't miss the NLL East Division Final, Friday, April 29th, 7:30, Air Canada Center. Yes, good seats still available at Ticketmaster.ca. Toronto Rush, lacrosse, rush, solid.
Hot, juicy, mouth-watering.
All you can eat, hickory smoked barbecue baby back ribs every Wednesday at a Shoeless Joe's near you. That's all you can eat, hickory smoked barbecue baby back ribs every Wednesday. Why not try it with an ice cold Heineken? Go to shoelessjoes.ca for a location nearest you.
Shoeless Joe's Restaurant. Mmm. All you can eat ribs every Wednesday after 5.
Because they're good to the bone.
I'm just like you. I have a job that I like most of the time. I have family that drives me crazy, and
I like going to movies. So we have a lot in common. We could even be friends if given the chance.
Except for one thing. You might not want to be my friend because of the way I look. Right now, I'm on the radio, and you don't know if I'm tall, short, white,
Asian, African, you don't know my religion, or even if I have one. And you don't know how long I've lived in Canada.
Some people look at me and think I wasn't born here. There's one thing I want you to know about me. I am proud to be a Canadian.
I live in Canada because it's the greatest country in the world. I'm a good Canadian, and I work hard to make a good life for my family. And I think that's more important than what I look like, don't you?
Just a thought. From your friends at 640 Toronto.
640 Toronto presents Safe City, the Toronto Crime Stoppers fundraising gala. It's a night of gourmet dining, silent auctions, prize raffles, and demonstrations by Toronto Police Service's tactical teams. Safe City, the Toronto Crime Stoppers gala on Wednesday, May 18th at the Liberty Grand Exhibition Place. From 640 Toronto, your city, your station.
Unusual. Unexplained. Unstoppable. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And our guest Gordon Maxwell, and with Jordan, we're going to also talk about the Da Vinci Code when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.
Would you like to?
Well, if you're looking for wood, don't bark up the wrong tree. For service, selection, and quality, it's Monaghan Lumber. King of the woods.
Nothing makes you feel like a building project than a trip to the cottage, and there's no place like Peterborough's Monaghan Lumber. If you're going to deck it, side it, trim door or floor it, Monaghan's got it. On Davis Road, near Lansdowne and 7, at MonaghanLumber.com.
Monaghan Lumber, King of the woods.
Weekdays at noon, Bill Waters and Jeff Mayer get together to talk Toronto Maple Leafs hockey. Here's a little something from the last show.
Well, Bill, the meeting in New York today. NHL and the NHLPA, for the first time since April 4th, are getting together.
I'm hopeful that it will be a continuation of what happened on the 4th of April, but everything that seems to be leading up to this indicates it won't. Brendan and Gartner are out, and they appear to me to have been the guys who have promoted some kind of deal-making philosophy. I think that the NHL if Goodnow pulls the same stunt, they'll bring it to a close pretty quickly.
Dennis Bayak in for Jeff Merrick on the next Leafs Lunch. Jeff Merrick returns for talk on Tuesday's meeting between the NHL and the NHLPA. And in studio, former Toronto Maple Leaf captain Daryl Sittler. And the rest of the stories behind Toronto's hockey headlines.
Leafs Lunch with Bill Waters and Jeff Merrick. Weekdays at noon on Toronto's hockey station and the home of the Leafs, 640 Toronto.
No more. Know the truth. This is Coast to Coast, your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
Jordan Maxwell, our guest right here on Coast to Coast. Jordan, I can't let you get away tonight without getting your reaction to the Da Vinci Code and Holy Blood, Holy Grail. I mean, fascinating. Da Vinci Code sold at least 26 million books.
Right.
What's your take on the interest in those?
I have a very definite feeling about it. Let's go back, first of all, to the very word Pope. Pope comes from the word Papa. Papa is a door in the old Italian, the old Latin. Papa was a door. So Pope is Papa, and Papa is a door. And, of course, you can't open a door without hinges. So in the old Latin, a hinge was a cardinal. It's like a cardinal point on the zodiac or point on a map. So they opened the door. So they help Papa open the door. And, of course, your Papa is the door to your life. And so they help, the cardinals help Papa to open the door for you to the mysteries of the Phoenician Canaanite mysteries. And once you understand what the Phoenician Canaanite mysteries are, then it gets interesting and scary, because it's the holy door to the Phoenician mysteries. If you fly over the Vatican, and this is all preparatory for answering your question, but if you fly over the Vatican, go on the web, just go to Google on the images and put Vatican from the air, and it will have a lot of pictures of looking down on the Vatican from above, and you will see the Vatican is actually a cross, just like St. Paul's Church in England is a cross. And in the middle of the cross, you will see the dome or the domus. That means something. But the courtyard in front of the Vatican is a keyhole. And you will see that the cross fits into the keyhole. And so now, what is this all about? Well, the Vatican is the key. And the keyhole is the courtyard. And then if you look down on the Vatican, as I said, you will see in the courtyard, you will see the British Union Jack flag. The courtyard is laid out exactly like the British Union Jack flag, with the two crosses, the cross of St. George and the cross of St. Andrew, the crisscross. And then once you understand that these symbols are not by chance, when it was being laid out, they knew exactly what they were doing, because there is a definite connection between Papa, the cardinals, and the British monarchy.
Interesting.
Yeah, and now when you get into British monarchy, now you're getting into something called British Israel World Federation. I have some things I'm putting on my web. My webman's right here frantically trying to get it on the web. I have documents that were printed back in 1922. I'm going to put on the web if we can get it up tonight. Back in 1922, 32, and 40, in which the old ancient British Israel World Federation, founded back in the late 1700s by the British royalty under the auspices of the Vatican, in which they talked about the coming new order of the world, the new world order, and they based it on the old pyramidology. But I've got about five different places we're going to put on the web for you to read it. I'm not just saying it, read it. It says that the very end of civilization as we know it and the beginning of the new order of the world will come in September of 2001. In the mid of September 2001, the British Israel World Federation, operating behind the British throne in England and operating out of the Vatican, will make its final and last assault on the world of politics, and it says September, mid-September will be the date, and this is far back as 1922. September, mid-September 2001 will be the mark. That's the date that's been set up for the last and final assault by the British Israel World Federation behind British royalty to consummate and complete their plan for a new order of the world. I'm telling you, all of this stuff that's going on has been written for a long time, but if you don't know anything about the Anglo-Israel World Federation, if you don't know where the money comes from, if you're not aware of the fact that so many of our so-called cults in this country, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Worldwide Church of God, are all British Israel cults that are being financed out of London, MI5 and MI6. If you don't understand the way this tune works and how the words are connected and the secret societies of operating throughout Europe, if you don't understand how this stuff is working, you're never going to figure it out, and you're going to be ushered into a whole new order of the world, and you're going to lose your country, you're going to lose your freedom, you're going to lose it all, and these people are playing for a high-stakes game. And I'm telling you, when you read 1922 and 1932
and who
articles
put,
written...
Who wrote that stuff?
It's written by the world. It's called the British Israel World Federation. And when you understand British Israel World Federation is actually financed and organized out of London by MI5, the British intelligence, and it is connected directly to the Vatican, now you begin to understand where Adolf Hitler comes from, what the Second World One and First and Second World War were all about, and it's and then when you read, it says September, mid-September, September 17th, of 2001 is when everything's going to break loose. In mid-September, that's when the whole thing begins, and its final ultimate assault on the world is coming. And we are planning it for mid-September of 2001. That's back in 1922. So I'm saying nothing is going on this planet that hasn't been planned. And I don't care about people who want to say, oh, well, that's a bunch of bull, and that's all that conspiracy stuff. I'm telling you, I got the documents.
I got to see them. You're going to post those?
Yes, I'm posting them on my website. If my man's working on it now. I've got so many things I want to post on my... I've been wanting to send you a picture, incidentally. I've been wanting to send you a picture of the newest sculpture out in front of the Vatican courtyard. And the Vatican courtyard is a huge new sculpture. It looks to be about at least 15 feet high. It's a round globe that has been smashed by another globe crashing into it. And I'm going to send you the picture over the over email. I've got so many incredible documents and materials here, and all kinds of extraordinary stuff. As a matter of fact, I don't even know where to start on this, but my webman just handed me a thing saying that you can go to my website under articles, and he will have those pictures of the documents saying that mid-September of 2001 is the last and final political move on the part of the British monarchy.
And that was
America.
Was written in 1922. All right, we got to look at it. Let's go to some calls while we have you. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Howdy.
Welcome, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington State.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, I found it really interesting you guys are talking about wordplays that have been handed down through the generations and nobody knows where they're coming from. Hey, I noticed that there's one place in the Bible where it talks about the tenor of words.
Mm-hmm.
That's back in Exodus. It was called the tenor of words. And then you guys are talking about the pyramid and the eye over the pyramid. Now, wouldn't that eye represent the tenor of words, which are the pyramid?
Well, of course. And this is why the pyramid is on the back of the dollar bill. It has to do with exactly what George has asked me about before, about the Da Vinci Code. Let me give you a quick thumbnail of what I think about the Da Vinci Code, the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, etc. I think there's a lot of very good research being put out in these different books. But there is no doubt in my mind, because I've been looking at this stuff for over 40 years, I've seen this before. I know what they're doing. And what is happening here with these books, I mean, you've got to ask yourself the question. Most people have never thought about this. How come a book can come out and overnight sell 26 million? It's like hula hoops. Nobody even heard of one, and the morning you woke up to find a hula hoop, everybody in the world's buying hula hoops.
It was huge, now, exactly.
How does that happen? I get kids coming over and telling me about some rock group that is the biggest rock group in the whole world, and they've made so much money, and I said, how long have they been around? About a week. And so I've got to think to myself, wait a minute, go back over that. It's the largest group in the world, and they made the most money, and they've only been out for 2 weeks? Come on. What does that tell you? Somebody is making sure that something is going to be a success. The secret societies, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about when I'm saying music and movies and things like this. I told you that America is a druidic country. So is Europe a druidic country. One of the most important symbols in the old ancient druidic religion was magic wands. Like Merlin the magician with his magic wand. The magic wands, according to reference works, were always made out of the wood of a holly tree. It was made out of Hollywood. And once you understand that Hollywood is nothing more than a druidic symbol, it's telling you something. Now you understand druidic symbols being Hollywood being a druidic symbol. Now for the first time you can understand the Bohemian Grove. Because the very word grove, go back to a dictionary, turn off the TV and read the dictionary and read the word grove. Do some research on that word, grove, because you will find the very word grove is a profoundly important word to the ancient Phoenician Canaanites and the Druids. It is a very powerful symbol that means something. And I'm telling you, if you don't understand grove, you're never going to understand the planet Saturn's connection to it. You're never going to understand British royalty. You have no idea in the world what's going on behind the Vatican powers that be behind the world. All of this is connected, but it would take hours to sit down and try and explain it to an audience. But I love this country enough. I understand the principles for which this country was founded. The founding fathers were many things, but stupid wasn't one of them.
No, Jordan,
they knew all about this stuff.
Do you think the Pope John the First, the one who died within a month,
yes,
that they did him in?
Oh, without a doubt. There's no doubt. As a matter of fact, you know Malachi Martin. You know the work of Dr. Malachi Martin.
Right.
Malachi Martin in the late 70s, early 80s, wrote a book called The Final Conclave. Go back and try and find a book in old libraries or in the library. You can find it. The Final Conclave by Malachi Martin, in which he said that when Pope Paul VI was dying, that there were two cardinals being expected the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, he said, now Malachi Martin said in Final Conclave, there are two cardinals being looked at. One is an Italian who is well-loved and well-liked all over the world, and there's a second one, a Polish cardinal. But if the Italian cardinal is picked, which he most likely will be because there's so many people in the world love him, he will be picked. And Malachi Martin said, if he is picked, he will die rather quickly because the powers that be, the propaganda due, Opus Dei, the international secret societies and subversive orders operating out of Italy and out of Rome, mafiosi, underworld organizations operating out of the Vatican, and if you don't understand that, go get Godfather 3 and watch the movie Godfather 3. As a matter of fact, watch all three. And Malachi Martin said the Polish cardinal will be made pope because he is in the pocket of the secret societies. He is their boy. They have been betting on him for a long time. He's their boy. They have put him where he is, and he will serve as the next pope if the Italian is made pope.
What were they afraid
they
of?
Take him out.
What were they afraid of with Pope John?
The Italian cardinal said, "If you make," he said, do not make me Pope. I don't want to be Pope, because if you do, I'm warning you. I'm going to expose Propaganda Due, T2 Lodge of Freemasonry, which is the dark side of the Knights of Malta. I'm going to expose the Nazi fascist element in the Vatican. I'm going to expose the connections of the Vatican Bank, financing Adolf Hitler, financing the Mafia. I'm going to break this whole party up. So don't make me Pope, because I'm going to go after everybody.
And they got him. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with Jordan Maxwell. Hi there.
This is one of the most fascinating guests I've heard in the program in years.
Yes, he is.
Have you written a book that maybe that would fully explain this, or do you pretty much just have it all on your website?
Well, I don't have time to write a book. I spent all my time down at UCLA in the archives and then USC and all around the country and traveling. I wish I had the time to sit down and write a book, but I'm just so fascinated. I'm getting old, so I don't have time.
I would love to have a 12-hour conversation with you, but I'll try to be as brief as possible. I've studied Celtic history and stuff, and the ancient Romans conquered pretty much Western Europe, and I always heard that they had made sure that they assassinated the Druids when they conquered, you know, ancient Gaul and Britain and Germany and Iberia and northern Italy. It was at one time, you know, controlled by the Celtic tribes because the Druids were a threat to them.
Yeah, well, but the point being is that there's a lot of information on this, but the point being is that the whole entire system was so inculcated with Druidism by the time the Romans got there that you're not going to change a whole makeup of the people and the nations of the world. So the Romans, yes, they were persecuting, but they were also accepting all of the Druidic symbols and emblems and holidays, etc. So since then, since Rome now has dominated the world, and you've got to look at this, the Vatican has dominated Europe for 1,600 years, and Europe has dominated the world for 1,600 years. That is an important fact when you're looking at world history. Who has dominated Europe? The Pope has dominated the Vatican. Vatican has dominated Europe, and Europe has dominated the world.
How does it have so much power, Jordan?
Because it started off with power, it was the offspring of the great Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire under the Caesars, when it was going into decline, the Arius Copernicus Pisos, the Pisos family, along with others, were like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds behind the Roman Empire. They were the money and the brains behind Caesar. And consequently, when the empire was in decline and beginning to look like she's going under, the international banking powers of which the Capizos family was the major name, they were like the Rothschild or Rockefeller name back then under the Roman Empire, they saw the coming of the end of the Roman Empire, so they began to move their wealth and move their money and prepare for the collapse of the empire and prepare for the new empire coming. And then so it was actually the Vatican represented a mutation on world politics.
Well,
so
now, let me tell you what interests me when they had the conclave and they all stayed in this new facility that was just built.
Right.
It cost $20 million, and I'm saying to myself, this church, I'm Catholic by the way, so I can get away with saying this, that this church has got more money than God.
I know. And then, of course, the way they picked the Pope is with the smoke. That's where we get the idea of all this stuff going on with smoke and mirrors. Because once you understand that everything is a mirror, everything is the opposite of what you think it is, and the smoke is involved in it.
What's up is down. What's down is up.
You got it.
Stay with us, Jordan. We'll be back with the final half hour with you and the rest of the phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Again, Jordan Maxwell's website, jordanmaxwell.com, and his webmaster's rushing to put some additional documents up there for you. And our website, as always, coasttocoastam.com. And if you haven't yet, just get up there, look at the left-hand side of coasttocoastam.com at the flashing yellow picture. Sponsor a kid for me, would you?
access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com.
From the 640 Toronto 24-Hour News Center, here is what Toronto is talking about.
A body discovered near the Sky Dome, and Toronto Catholics celebrate the new Pope. It's 16 degrees at 4:30. Some thunderstorms on the way. Good morning, I'm Shauna Hunt. Toronto Homicide is now investigating after a body was discovered near the Sky Dome. Police tell 640 Toronto a 911 call was made just before midnight after a person found the body of a man outside the Steam Whistle Brewery. Now, the man is believed to be in his late 30s, early 40s. An autopsy is scheduled later today. The Special Investigations Unit has been called in after a police chase in North York. Bathurst is closed off in both directions between Wilson and Brook Avenue after a serious accident. Since the SIU is now investigating, police cannot release many details about the incident, but there are reports that a man was taken to hospital without vital signs. There's no word yet on his current condition. Pope Benedict XVI has celebrated his first public mass as the new leader of the Roman Catholic Church. This morning's mass comes after one of the shortest conclaves in a century. Father Dan Donovan is a professor of theology at the University of Toronto. He says he doesn't expect the new pope to do much within the church or be around for that long.
So to some degree, he's a transitional pope. They're not expecting him to do any dramatic new thing.
The new pontiff is a staunch defender of church doctrine who agreed with the late John Paul on issues such as homosexuality and birth control. 640 Toronto Sports, Roy Halladay gets his third win of the season as the Jays down the Red Sox 4-3 in Boston. And 640 Toronto will carry game one of the Baby Leafs' first-round AHL playoff series against Manitoba tonight at 7. 640 Toronto weather, early morning showers with a chance of late afternoon thunderstorms, a high of 17. It's 16 degrees at the corner of Yonge and Dundas. That's at 4:31. I'm Shauna Hunt with Toronto's in-depth news every 30 minutes and breaking news as it happens.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-642-7414. 1-800-642-7414. Call now. 1-800-642-7414. 1-800-642-7414.
A passion for Toronto. The John Oakley Show. Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10. Your city, your station. 640 Toronto.
Conspiracies, confusion, contradictions. Ask the questions. This is Coast to Coast. Be in the know. 640 Toronto.
so true. Funny how it seems, always in time, but never in line for dreams. Head over heels, when you talk to toe, this is the sound of my soul. This is the sound.
With George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
On our next Coast to Coast program, guest David Vodanis, we're going to be talking some real science. Mr. Tesla would be impressed if he were alive today when he listens to David on our next Coast to Coast program. Hey, the After Dark CD is available to you. You get a double CD, 2.5 hours of bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, and some classic ghost stories. AfterDarkCD.com is the website to go. AfterDarkCD.com, or call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. You know, you spend...
Hypnosis works. Whether you want to lose weight, stop smoking, reduce stress, anxiety, or phobias, listen to what Ben said.
Hypnosis has helped me to relax and to stabilize my high blood pressure. There was a time that I was checked in at 200 over 150. But after hypnosis, my blood pressure is now normal, and the headaches and dizziness are gone. Thank you.
Hypnosis works. For a free consultation, call Positive Changes Hypnosis, 416-488-4724.
It works.
416-488-4724.
Mike Stafford. The other day, we were getting the political runaround. One person telling us to talk to this other bureaucrat. And we had that same guy telling us to talk to the other guy. So we scheduled them on the show at the same time. You've never heard so many yeah buts in your life. Now that was fun. God, I love this show. Get answers, Toronto. The Stafford Show. Weekday afternoons, 2 to 6. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto.
The untold will unfold. This is Coast to Coast, your city, your station, 640 Toronto.
Believe in spiritual things, Jordan, like angels and things like
that? Oh, heaven, yes. Without a doubt. No doubt in my mind that there is a spiritual matrix at work around us. No doubt in my mind at all. And I have no problem with spirituality. I have a problem with organized religion because I know that God is a word dog spelled backwards, and this is where we get church dogma. And once you begin to understand the words and terms, you find that you know, take the word evil and put a D in front of it, becomes devil.
Devil, yeah.
So, yeah, and so God is good and devil is evil. But once you get past all the words and terms and symbols, no, there is a very definite spiritual presence in the universe. And I have the highest of admiration and respect for it, whatever we want to call it. But before we go into the phones, I got a few things I really have to tell you.
Sure.
One, I got a rabbi who a while back emailed me and said, Jordan, go on the web to Jordanus Maximus. And according to, I guess, the old Hebrew mysticism, there was a phenomena called Jordanus Maximus. Well, I put it on the, this is a rabbi who wrote this to me, and it's on the web. So I put the articles on the web. So go to my website, and on the banner that says words, my web guy tells me he's finally got it on there now. Go down to the bottom, you'll see Jordanus Maximus. Just look at some of that stuff. I just thought it was interesting.
Is that how you get your name?
Yeah. I mean, no. And it's a Jordanus Maximus. Jordanus means the river that brings wisdom and knowledge, and Maximus means the most knowledge coming from the river of knowledge. And I thought, wow, and this is a rabbi sending it to me.
Where did the name Maximus come from in the most recent movie you might have seen? This is a quiz.
What was that? Was that in
Gladiator?
Gladiators. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, of course.
So then, and so Maximus means what?
It means the maximum amount. Like the Pope is called the Pontifex Maximus, and I am called Jordanus Maximus.
Maximus. And Russell Crowe was called Maximus.
Yes.
In the
I'll
movie.
Tell you, I really like him too. But look at, go on my website to words. I hit the, scroll down to hit the little banner saying words, and then you'll see Jordanus Maximus. Now, also, my webman tells me that the British Israel World Federation documents are now under articles. He finally got them on. So go to my website, jordanmaxwell.com. And hit articles, and you will, and there will be a little article on it. But hit that article, and it will open up to all kinds of articles on and
good.
You
okay.
know, the things we were talking about. Now, also, I would like to, before we go to the phones, ask everyone that hearing to go on my website and just put in your email on my mailing list, so I can, you know, mail stuff back to you as we're doing new things and new, you know. Shows that I'm doing, etc.
Okay, so they can follow you around.
Right. And then I got a question for you.
Yes.
What is it going to take for me to get you and Tom to come over and visit me? I'm only about a half a mile from you down the boulevard.
Well, now that I've seen the area code here that I'm looking at, it's not going to take much at all. As a matter of fact, we'll do it next week for sure. I'm going to go back. Let's do it before I go back to St. Louis because I'm going to spend a couple weeks there.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll do it next week.
Look, I'll be making up some tapes and great stuff for you and documents, all kinds of interesting stuff.
All right, we'll have Tom call you, set it up so we've got the same time schedule, and we'll just do
Beautiful.
It. Start
Beautiful.
With a lunch or something. Want to do that?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's do it.
You're right up the street from us, isn't it?
Yeah, right down. I'm right here on Ventura Boulevard, right down the boulevard. I'm in Tarzana.
Okay, I know exactly where that is.
Yep.
Back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, this is Beth. I'm in Idaho.
Hello, Beth.
I got a question for Jordan.
He's there. Go ahead.
Actually, a couple of comments. The Pope John's ring and seal, they destroy him. I guess it's common for them to destroy the ring and seal of the Pope after he's passed on. And I was just wondering the significance of that in terms of comparing that to magic or the occult, because like the storybook, you wouldn't destroy
something. Well, one of the reasons they destroy it is they see the ring, and you correct me, Jordan, if I'm wrong, the ring has been used for basically as a signature of special documents within the Vatican.
Precisely.
They didn't want anyone to use the ring for forgeries.
That is very good. That's right. That's one of the most important reasons. And the reason why the ring is important to begin with, we go back to the Lord of the Rings, or we go back to Saturn, the ring. And this is why in the old ancient Phoenician religion, women were told to listen to their god, and so they would wear ear rings. And men were to get married before their god, so they would wear wedding rings. And the whole concept of the ring is very important in the ancient world. Rings were very important.
Yeah, well, how do we know that it was actually destroyed and not, like, on a, the black market somewhere?
Well, we don't. Are we, Jordan?
I don't know.
Another
there.
Thing is that the Illuminati, I just picked up a reference book, and that the former Jesuit, the Adam Weiss fault.
Yeah, well, Adam Weiss, huh?
Yeah, that it was started in Bavaria, and the new pope's from Bavaria, from what I understand.
Oh, well, that makes me feel good all over.
That sounds kind of interesting. So
yeah.
That's
yeah.
my comment. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Thanks,
Beth.
Appreciate you,
you
being
know,
on
one
the
other
program.
Thing, George, before we go any further, you know that I'm going to Egypt. Ivy.
Oh, yeah, you're going with Ivy and William Henry, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, William Henry is absolutely sensational. I love his work. I love his person. He's such a very nice and gentle person.
Took me a complete show to understand him. I had no idea because I hadn't studied him right when about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And
well,
I bounced him off the show, and I got more email that day on anything I've ever done in my life, and I went, what did I do wrong? So I started reading up on him, and the next time he and I talked, we clicked. And now he's a regular, he's a great guest, and we get along. And as you know, we run into each other at conferences all over
absolutely.
The place.
Absolutely. Yeah. The first time I ever met him was over in 1994 over in Mesquite, Nevada. And I was absolutely mesmerized by sitting in the audience just listening to him. And I went backstage afterwards and I said, wow, man, I got to know you.
He's got a great researcher. He is a great researcher.
And of course, Ivy is bringing, we did this last year. Ivy did the ancientwisdomtours.net, and Ivy had William and I go last year with quite a few other speakers. And so we're doing it again, and anyone who's interested, I got to tell you, when you're in Egypt, it's not like anything you might think. If you've never been to Egypt, it is an absolutely incredible experience being in a country that is that old and that ancient, and watch the customs of the people and how they live. And when you get out to the Giza Plateau, it's almost scary the first time you see it, because I'm telling you, you get a very strong feeling that there's something very, very powerful that you're looking at,
yep.
and you know it's there, but you just don't know how to explain it. So
it's a hall of records down there by the Sphinx somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know, the Egyptian people love Americans.
Of course they do. It was incredible the kind of response that we got as we were roaming around the different temples and going up and down the Nile on the tour. It was everywhere we stopped, they knew we were Americans. They were generous to us, helpful, joking with us, happy to be that we were there. I loved it. I mean, I loved the people. It is a strange land, and if you want to go, go to ancientwisdomtours.net, I guess it is, and oh, it's on my website, actually. Just go to jordanmaxwell.com and go to, I think it's events, and you'll see it there.
All right, let's finish up with the rest of the callers. Let's
right, so.
Pick it up. Let's see who's been on hold the most with my electronic clock here. We'll try you, wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, George. This is Mike calling from Corville, Iowa.
Hello, Mike. Go ahead.
Great to talk to you. I heard you several months ago when you had Alex Jones on.
Oh, yeah. Alex will be back soon, by the way.
And he was talking about the secret societies. And I'd gotten a couple tapes from him on both the Illuminati and the Bohemian Grove.
Sure.
And the Illuminati and the thing with the skull and bones that the elite belong to. And I tried to get either this gentleman here. He's almost as good, I think, as Mr. Jones. But anyhow, I'm glad to get through, because something happened to me years ago. I talked to an old guy in this thing after the Civil War, and his father was rode with Nathan Bedford Forrest, and this guy was like 90 some years old, and he wrote a book. His name was Philpott, and I asked him. I said I was curious about secret societies, and of course he was telling me about the Illuminati and all the anti-Christian things, and he was telling me that his dad had, of course, was with the old Klan and everything. And I said, yeah, we heard about it up north here, and I said, we understood that it was a patriotic society, and that this guy Pike had started it. And I said, didn't he have something to do with the Masons and the things with the occult? And he said, well, that might have been true, but he said, where it went off to something else, because he was talking about it, but he said that General Lee told them to start that because at the end of the Civil War, I guess, they knew that some secret societies or something else that was going to take over the government, that Lincoln was sending guys out to assassinate Jefferson Davis, and he said that his dad said that they knew that John Wilkes Booth was in the Confederate Secret Service, and he had a special pass.
Well, yeah, that's true. And
as a matter of fact, though, that those secret societies you're talking about, one was called the Order of the Golden Circle, and the other was called the Order of the Golden Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then became, the two of them came together, became known as the Order of the Ku Klux Klan. But the Order of the Circle and the Triangle, now you begin to see the symbol on the dollar bill. You'll see the triangle, which is a pyramid on the dollar bill, is surrounded by a circle, the Order of the Circle and the Order of the Triangle.
We had a great show on Jordan a few months ago about the Confederate gold and that they've got it hidden away still in caves and stuff, but there are symbols right by wherever they buried it or hid it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, and again, everything comes back to symbols.
That's right.
Next step.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but that's the name of the tune.
Let's
the
go.
Symbols are telling you something.
First-time caller line, you're on with Jordan Maxwell. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Dennis, and I'm calling from Orange, California, and I have a comment and a question for Jordan.
Okay.
Okay, I had purchased a DVD in which Jordan was talking about how the British own us through our birth certificate and the Maritime Admiralty Law. Now, upon hearing this, sounded very interesting. Well, I worked for a temp agency. 2 months later, I got a call to work at the sixth largest bank in the world. This was just working with paperwork, dealing with people's deeds and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I asked somebody, had they ever seen a birth certificate come through here? The guy gave me a real dirty look. Now, this place, you sign security every corner you turn, and there's different floors. Now, I asked two other people if they had ever seen any birth certificates come through here. These two people looked at me with scaredness, and then they said, as a matter of fact, we have. We know where one is. And I asked them to show it to me. So we proceeded to walk over, and they showed it to me, and on the back it had all the different banks across the world stamped on it. And they said this was on the wrong floor and that they're supposed to hand this over to the more secure floor upstairs. And they asked me, why was this here? And I laughed, and I said, you really don't want to know right now. And my question for you is, how do we get the United States out of America?
Well, I don't know about that question, Jordan, but tell me, what's the significance of this birth certificate in the Brits? Jordan, are you with us? Can I pot it up, Steve?
Yeah, he's there.
Well, we're going to have to call him right back and find out where he is. We'll get him right back. You know what? I couldn't even answer that for you if I tried. But
okay, because it's very interesting. He lays it out, and he says it in the DVD. He says most people don't understand it, but the British started a corporation called the United States, and through gameplay and wordplay, once again, just using words, they own you because when you are born, you come out of your mother's birth canal. Therefore, you're a maritime admiralty product, which makes you the property of international banking law. And so when you're born, they create an all capital letters U, a fake U. And
That's weird. I never heard about that. Well, if we can get him back on, we're trying to. His phone line may be dead. Why is it every time I put somebody on who's kind of like different or conspiratorial, something always goes wrong with the phones? It happens all the time. All the time. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. See if I can help you. We don't have Jordan, but you have me. Hi there.
Hi, it's Jerry. I'm on the Great Line coming into Los Angeles.
Hi, Jerry. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Jordan Maxwell about there's symbols on some products that are sold or used to be sold, like Procter & Gamble. There was an old symbol. I think it had a bearded figure with stars around it. I wanted to know what the significance of that was. I heard something many years ago about it, and it was something significant. And then also I wanted to ask about the Arm & Hammer symbol or the soda, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. See, you know, everything's into symbols. It goes back way, way back to the originators of those things. But I got to tell you, to me, the most perplexing thing of all this is how they developed it and why they developed it and what the real reason for it was. International Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Good. I'm sorry I missed the guest, but
sorry, I missed him too.
No, and I wanted to temper him a little bit. I'm open to anything, but as people are out there listening, everything can't be a conspiracy, George.
No, I agree with that.
And I love Pope John Paul, and he's no longer with us. And I, without a doubt in my mind, know. He wouldn't let anybody kill another pope to let him in. And if the Vatican controls the whole world, the mafiosa in Rome can't kill the pope. I mean, you can't have overlapping conspiracies. And I just wanted people out there to take it with a grain of salt. Pope John Paul was a great man. The Mormon church isn't out to kill America. And we have to take some of these symbols almost as somebody put it on there as their thing, but it means nothing to us if we don't know what it means. And these words, sure, you sing Ring Around the Rosie, that's about something with the plague, but you're a kid, it means what you want it to mean.
Well, one of the things you have to be aware of with symbols is how will it affect you? Well, for Jordan Maxwell, thank you, Jordan. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lavasseur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. What happened to him?
Hello, this is Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. The warmer weather is here, and you'll be leaving your home to spend more time outside and away. Isn't it time you called Alarm Force for your free home alarm installation? Insurance companies have proven that you are less likely to have a break-in when you have an Alarm Force home alarm. In fact, most insurance companies will reduce your insurance premium when an Alarm Force system is installed.
Attention! This is the Alarm Force Central Station. Identify yourself immediately.
It's easy to see why Alarm Force is Canada's favorite company for two-way voice home alarms. When you call Alarm Force, you'll be amazed to discover that this level of two-way voice home alarm is free. The only thing you'll ever have to pay is $25 a month to cover the monitoring. Call Alarm Force at 1-800-267-2001.
Call 1-800-267-2001. 1-800-267-2001.